Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Just before I left for Austin, I took my family to the Smoky Mountains. Now, long before the Europeans named it the Smoky Mountains, the Cherokee had a name for it, and if I pronounce it correctly, it's something like Shaconoque, which means place of the fine particulate smog. No, not actually. That's what the EPA wants you to think. I was surprised to see this graphic on the EPA site where they explain what PM2.5 is. They use the Smoky Mountains as a poster child. Is it really PM2.5 and man-made smog that makes the Smoky Mountains smoky? No. We all know that it isn't, but we see this kind of thing done over and over again, like they did with polar bears on ice floes. Remember that? And of course, Al Gore is telling us that the oceans are rising, but he builds his $9 million mansion in Montecito, California, right on the ocean side. So I don't think he believes that either. But they use these subliminal messages to try to convince us. And they can be quite effective. And speaking of bears, every visitor to the Smoky Mountains gets a handout that looks like this, warning you about black bears. And as my wife was reading that to the small children, I started thinking, a lot of the stuff they were saying about bears could be said about government, especially about the EPA. Let me just read a few things here. With aggressive behavior, the bear, the EPA, is demanding more space. If the bear, or EPA, continues to follow you, stand your ground. If the EPA gets closer, talk louder or shout at it. Act aggressively. Act together as a group if you have companions. Make yourself look as large as possible. Don't run, don't turn away, and don't feed the EPA. It only encourages further problems. It's David Knight for InfoWars Nightly News.
I'm Darren McBreen with InfoWars Nightly News, and I'm here today at the Texas State Capitol, and we're about to find out if the people of Austin are aware that they are about to be hit by a wave of utility bill hikes as new EPA regulations drive up the cost of energy.
What do you think about paying higher utility bills because of the EPA's new regulations against power plants?
You know, there may be some new regulations coming up against power plants at this point, but unfortunately right now I think that our citizens statewide and nationwide basically overburdened, especially with today's economic developments and situations that are going on. I think rate hikes should be at a minimal to at least try to alleviate some of the burden on our taxpayers and our citizens nationwide and statewide.
I know a lot of people that are going to be not only shocked but a little bit irritated about that as well. Absolutely. I mean, they're already, I mean, because it's such a hot summer.
Exactly.
You know, everybody's bills is already up through the roof.
You're already paying through the roof because the ACs are running nonstop, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, on top of that and with a downturn economy, yeah, it's doesn't seem to jive that well.
Of course, I don't want to pay higher utility bills. They're already extremely high right now as it is.
Well, I don't want to pay more because of the carbon dioxide thing. That doesn't seem right, especially if it's not even proven.
Generally, I prefer regulations that deter pollution and paying a little bit more for that than an unregulated environment.
It all has to be regulated some way, right? It's going to mess our environment up.
I understand the tax on carbon footprints, but I mean, who's you know, getting a new Lexus, you know what I mean?
Do you think that carbon dioxide is dangerous?
I think carbon dioxide can be very dangerous.
Okay, what do plants breathe?
Carbon dioxide.
Yeah, I think carbon dioxide is definitely dangerous. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any like rules and laws to prevent it being.
What do plants breathe?
Okay, folks, those are some excerpts from InfoWars Nightly News reports. We are live. It is the 24th day of October 2012. Giant broadcast lined up. Court rules. You will let the TSA drag your children off to dungeons or you'll be put in jail. I'm serious. We'll be right back.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You are listening to The Alex Jones Show.
It is Wednesday, the 24th day of October 2012, and we are getting very, very close to the big election coming up here, and, well, now less than 2 weeks away, a week and a half away, just amazing times that we certainly live in. Again, I'm Alex Jones, your host. We're here Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. Here are some of the headlines we're going to be covering today that are up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Gulliford, North Carolina voters say ballot cast for Romney came up Obama on machine. We're getting reports of that, of early voting across the country coming up for Obama. Also, will anonymous bomb threat throw election for Obama? We've learned that there are specific bomb threats by so-called anonymous, probably provocateurs posing as hackers because it's anonymous, saying that they plan to bomb government buildings with high-powered explosives before the election. And that dovetails with another anonymous call, which is a perfect cutout, to demonize all hackers. That's the problem with anonymous, is they call it anonymous, then the government can project whatever they want onto that name. There is a call to march on Washington the day before the election, November 4th and 5th, and to storm it and basically have, well, they expect to be shot and die. This is clearly a provocateur operation. We've now learned, tracking this last few days before we reported on it, Paul Watson and I, that this has been going on for a month and is gaining steam with a lot of talk show hosts and people calling for storming, calling for the support on the march and the storming. Different internet personalities and people, and either they're useful idiots or they're operatives. The reason it leans towards operatives, whoever's anonymously doing this and others, is this started a month ago. This call that's gained steam to storm the White House the day before the election, obviously to try to make the White House look like a victim and to have an excuse to bring in some type of emergency. Doug Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Network, who does have some really good police and military sources, has said months ago on this show that there's a plan to try to stir up riots before the election, not even after. We see massive preparation for civil unrest in this country. The 1.2, 1.4, then 1.6 billion bullets bought this year. We see the military digging in. We see the military admitting they're preparing for civil unrest. I hope this doesn't happen. The globalists can also hype all this fear and then use it as just an excuse to clamp down more and more in general. It's kind of internal propaganda. They give different police, what they call in authoritarian systems, security forces. What they give the paramilitary security forces is a back-channel propaganda to get them all hyped up on edge and believing that there are all these threats that don't exist. So we're going to be going over all of that today. Will anonymous bomb threat and threat to storm the White House, and of course the real anonymous folks have distanced themselves from this, but it doesn't matter because anytime something's, quote, anonymous, then you can have good people involved, bad people, but the government can go in or other groups, provocateur things to demonize the entire movement, say, of hackers. It's very legitimate and a great counterbalance to big corporations and government. It's kind of like people say, well, are you for Occupy Wall Street or are you against Occupy Wall Street? Well, you notice that Adbusters and other groups connected to George Soros and the globalists, who have a lot of laudable goals on the surface, they began to call months before, let's occupy Wall Street on this date. And then it was kind of nebulous. We're against the corruption. Then people show up by the tens of thousands in every major city. The media hypes it. Then the Democrats come in and try to co-opt it. They wanted it to be grassroots, but then co-opted it. It didn't work. First, you had Obama endorsing it. When it didn't work and they woke up and were against Obama and the Republicans and the system and started criticizing the corrupt elements of Wall Street, not just capitalism in general, but the crony people, the monopolyists, well, then in 35-plus cities, what was it, 35 in one night, They had federally run raids coming into the city and ordering the city. Now is the time. You know, in Denver and Portland and Dallas and New York, everywhere. Now go in and billy club people. Now go in and beat them up. Now, again, this has all been a coordinated operation. So they're projecting the term anonymous, giving it massive attention when people call themselves anonymous so they can build it up and also use it as a cyber threat to have the Pentagon and globalists publicly take over the web that they built to begin with. So that's really the process that is happening right there. Very important article, because even ABC News said the White House could run some type of October surprise. Romney could as well, but he isn't in office. He doesn't have that whole apparatus at his fingertips, though there are neocons that support Romney who are embedded at different levels. And even though they all agree on the same policies when it comes to geopolitical activities that Obama does, they want the power. So even though they're in the same team, basically, or in the same league, they're from different teams, is a better way to say it. But they're in the same league. Will anonymous bomb threat throw election for Obama? We've got Joe Curl, who writes for the Washington Times, White House correspondent. He was at the last debate that they had Monday night. We're going to get him on to break that down for about 20 minutes. Then Bev Harris on the reports. Will you guys, I forgot, I'm sorry. Will you pull me the stack of election fraud news out yesterday, that Forbes article about Hardiner Civic being bought out by the Romney Trust, that a lot of the votes in the country are going to be cast on. I think that's important as well. We're seeing fraud by both sides, or what could be construed as chicanery or impropriety. I mean, I think it's improper if you're in politics to own voting machine companies. Conflict of interest would be the proper term there. We're going to be talking to her coming up as well at the start of the next hour. But a YouTube threat to bomb government buildings, along with a plan by other members of Anonymous to storm the White House and Congress in an attempt to arrest government officials, not government servants, officials, the day before the presidential election could prove and provide the crisis for Barack Obama to secure a second term. And then he has the quotes in here by White House advisors, saying, if we don't have a new Oklahoma City or 9/11, we're not going to be able. Remember Robert Shapiro said that in the Financial Times of London? We're not going to be able to get Obama reelected. And any type of big staged event, a war, a new conflict, a terror attack, a storming of the White House or an attempt, anything like that would make Obama and his cohorts look like victims. And they are the prime suspects, and they have a history of doing Fast and Furious and other events. So again, they are prime, absolute prime suspects in all of this. This is an excellent article that Paul Joseph Watson put out this morning that I worked on with him, and it's got all the points in it. You need to get this out to everybody, folks. Will anonymous bomb threat? And threat to will anonymous bomb threat and storming of the White House plans should probably be the headline, but I understand it needs to be short and sweet. So go read the article. We'll get to more of that after Joe Curl is on with us ahead of Bev Harris. This is some devastating news. We were following this case so often I can read the profile of somebody in the news and guess they're a listener. We're talking to her lawyer. I'm guessing she's a listener. Poor lady. She was trying to fly out of Tennessee. They wanted to touch her daughter's genitals, and she said no, so they arrested her. And we've seen some attempts at this as well, saying if you film, they'll arrest you, even though it's legal and lawful. They have to admit that on their own TSA website. Or to say it's disorderly conduct if you try to leave. We've seen them threaten to fine people where you can just leave, but then they don't tell you when you leave, they try to fine you. Now, that's been thrown out of court, but they found a simpering jury of bootlickers. Mom found guilty by court after refusing TSA pat down of daughter. You know, the word pat down is wrong. It is a groping. Remember 3 years ago when we first started really breaking this? Our articles, you know, almost every day on Drudge for a few months became the biggest story in the country. Thanks to DrudgeReport.com getting it out there and our reporters breaking it down. And they'd say, we don't touch your genitals, not even on the outside. Show them going in the pants. We don't take you in private rooms. We don't strip search old ladies. They got caught lying the entire time. This is the incredible corruption that we're talking about. And the system has to get this done because this is the takeover army. The TSA now certifies your local police that they can now grope you. It's like the TSA brown shirts wave a magic wand and get ready for your proctology exam. A woman who stood up to TSA screeners and refused to allow them to grope her 14-year-old daughter has been found guilty of disorderly conduct and sentenced to 1 year of probation by a court in Tennessee. Yeah, when tyrants rule, patriots rot in filthy jails. Forget that exact quote. You guys search that. When tyrants prevail, or when patriots rot in filthy jails, I think is the full quote is treason is treason unless there be treason. Well, we'll get the full quote. Back in July of 2011, Andrea Fornella Abbott of Clarksville was arrested in Nashville Airport. Oh, yeah, we're on the radio in Nashville. You can, on two stations, you can bet WNOX and Harry Grothschild's awesome Truth Radio. Authorities for expressing outrage at the TSA procedures. You know, in Hellraiser, when they chop you up, it's called a procedure. A police report stated that Abbott would not allow her daughter to be touched inappropriately or have her crotch grabbed. Well, you don't talk back to God. Maybe you need to be tasered. Abbott also refused to submit to a full body scan, which they admit gives you cancer, saying that she did not want her or her daughter's naked bodies revealed by the scanner. How dare? What do you think you are, in America, lady? Of course you get groped and body scanned in Land of the Coward, Home of the Slave. The report noted she attempted to take a cell phone video of the incident, but was prevented from doing so by TSA gods. Oh, yeah. You don't film them. Well, we'll get back with the rest after this. I mean, you, how dare you? This is a quote I know that's been around for hundreds of years. Author is unknown, but it was widely circulated during the revolutionary period of treason against the British rulers back in the 1770s, 1780s. No man escapes when freedom fails. The best men rot in filthy jails. And those that cried appease, appease are hanged by those they tried to please. Let me say that again. This is something that, you know, George Washington heard in the air when he decided to march up against the greatest military the world had ever seen with a ragtag band that was untested. An empire that had beaten the French, beaten the Spanish, beaten them all, beaten the Portuguese, beaten the Austrians, beat them all, but marched up against them. No man escapes when freedom fails. The best men rot in filthy jails. And those that cried appease, appease are hanged by those they tried to please. That's right. Author unknown. I'd tweet that, but it's too long. And that's what it comes down to. And I know TSA is going to be on every street corner and every mall. I saw them on C-SPAN say it. People are like, oh, stop fear-mongering, Alex, they'll never be on the streets. They're now popping up in Austin, Texas. They were at ACL Fest. I've talked to people that saw it, and we're now taking photographs, our own Adon Salazar, of them in South Austin yesterday walking around with TSA trucks. That's on our Twitter, Real Alex Jones. And they are meant to dominate you. They are meant to line you up and put their hands on you. The system knows 90-plus percent of citizens are not, quote, criminal. But they've got to induct us into the criminal system and get us used to line up, give me your papers, and by the way, I'm taking you behind closed doors, and by the way, I'm putting my hands on you. You ready? I'm going to touch your genitals. You ready for this? And it's always more, more, more. First, take your shoes off. First, take your coat off. Take your belt off. Just like people going into, you know, Nazi death camps. Take your shoes off. Take your clothes off. And they find people that are compartmentalized. They really think they're fighting terrorists. Al-Qaeda publicly works for the government. A mother says, you're not going to grab my 14-year-old daughter and take her away and grope her body. Don't do that. And they started doing it. She said, stop, stop, and pulled her camera out. So they had the police arrest her and call it disorderly conduct to say, don't do that, and try to tape it. When the TSA's own website says you can film them for legal reasons, they have to say that because it's a, quote, public place. They're filming you. You have a right. Oh, let us secretly do something to you. Remember this year they got caught lying, saying, we don't take the clothes off of old women. And when they got caught, they said, well, we don't call that strip search when we take their clothes off. Okay? And now truck drivers all over the country are sending us photos and video. It's all over YouTube where they're pulling up to checkpoints with Army, dogs, state police, and TSA are there in charge. And they're like, get out of your truck. And if they got a bumper sticker about freedom or something, they're like, what is that? I mean, they want you to know, you American trash, how dare you be against the New World Order? And they want, you got a problem? And I've seen these videos and news articles. They'll have state police and those Marine Corps drill sergeant hats. I mean, they're in a rock-ready stance. They're like, get up against that truck. I mean, they hate us. They hate us. They hate us. This is a criminal authoritarian takeover, ladies and gentlemen. And again, police and military that aren't traitors, you've got to decide what side you're on. Because I've seen footage of Fallujah checkpoints, and they didn't treat the Iraqis with this much disrespect because they knew it would cause them to revolt. They would just, come on, we're going to do this easy now. We're taking your daddy to Abu Ghraib. We're going to take your little kids, too. You know, load them up, boom. And the troops doing it weren't psychopaths, most of them, but the people at the dungeon were. And the Army's own report, just type in Army report on Abu Ghraib abuse is what they call it. You'll get Associated Press Reuters. It's about 30 pages long, and I dare you to read it. The Army admits raping of children with battery acid and large objects. Raping of children, raping of the detainees with battery acid. How they did it every... I mean, folks, this is, they were ordered to do this. So you need to understand, they're building an army of dungeon keeper Jeffrey Dahmers for our families. They got different, they got paramilitary hit teams if he resists, who just like to go hunting humans and like the adrenaline. They've got the pedophile abuser corps once you get to the dungeons. They've got just the general cops to write tickets and raise money. It's like an ant hive or something. An ant hill or a beehive or a wasp nest. They've got their specialized drones. They've got the whole thing worked out. They've got their soldier ants. They've got their their attendant ants that serve the Queenies, the Janet Napolitanos. And folks, it's so horrible to know this. And this mother and the jury said, guilty. You don't videotape and you let them grab your daughter's genitals. Is that clear? You're not an American anymore. Scum American. We'll do what we want.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Joseph Curl, who is a writer at the Washington Times of many years, investigative journalist, White House correspondent, joins us to give us his take on the debate of Monday night. The fact that it's now coming out that Obama did know that it was, quote, a coordinated, premeditated terror attack in Benghazi. Yeah, no kidding, that was professional. That's big news today. We've also got more threats to riot and kill Romney. If Obama loses, that's finally being covered by the dinosaur media. We're going to cover all that with Joseph Curl, who was actually at the last debate on Monday and the one before that. And he's been very kind to join us on his busy schedule. Joe, where should we start here? How about the so-called Donald Trump announcement? I hadn't gotten to that yet. I tell you, talk about stringing people along. Make that announcement and tell us what you think of it.
Well, it's actually dueling announcements and publicity hogs. You had Gloria Allred this morning going to court in Massachusetts to get unsealed some records that apparently Mitt Romney testified in the divorce case of a colleague, and they ended up pushing that back until Thursday. We're really not even sure what's in there, but Romney's lawyer eventually came out and said he doesn't care if it comes out or not. It's testimony that he gave. He doesn't care. So doesn't sound like there's much there. And then Donald Trump had said he had some great revelation. Everyone was speculating again about, you know, divorce papers from Obama, birth certificate stuff, which Donald's already been in, involved in. Turns out when he made his announcement at noon, it was a plea for Obama to release his college applications and his passport application. And if he did so, Trump will donate $5 million to the charity of Obama's choice. So really a day of high excitement with all of this supposed stuff happening. And then in the end of the day, two washouts from two publicity hogs.
And Trump just continues to do this. Same thing with Gloria Allred. I mean, quite frankly, Romney helped out one of his friends. And in 20 years of marriage, Obama and his wife almost got divorced once. I mean, that's probably happened to most people.
Right.
I mean, this is really scraping the bottom of the barrel. But I think that's because both camps don't want to go after real corruption that's out there. They always love this, you know, kind of one-off tabloid stuff.
Yeah, and again, for Obama, you know, this sort of thing, you know, and who knows the coordination between Allred and even, you know, Donald Trump, this is, again, just distracting from major issues. You've got all of this hubbub happening on a day, as you were mentioning in the lead in there. You know, it turns out they have actual emails back and forth from State Department people, as many as 400 different people, 16 are involved in this conversation going on live while the Benghazi attack was happening, including an hour after the attack had concluded, as far as they knew, you know, a claim by a terrorist group, you know, immediate claim of responsibility, which means that the White House has known since day one, since hours after this.
Which makes it premeditated lying.
Yeah, it starts to look like a massive, massive cover-up. I mean, as much as the media wants to make it sound like Obama mentioned terrorist attacks and terrorist groups and that sort of thing in Benghazi, he really didn't. He said, as we talked about last time I was on, acts of terror, nothing about specifically. And then we spent the next 10 days, up to 2 weeks, with them blaming it on a spontaneous demonstration that grew out of this video that was on YouTube over the summer that nobody saw. So it's really starting to look like a massive cover-up. I'm shocked that I looked this morning, Washington Post, New York Times, not even on their website. The story is not even there. So, you know, millions of people aren't going to even hear about this story. It'll be interesting to see tonight who covers it on the major networks. It was broken by CBS last night, so they're already on top of it, but today you're getting a cold shoulder from an awful lot of the mainstream media on this story.
Your take on the last debate, I guess you've been at all of them. Again, Joe Curl, Washington Times, joining us. I have to say, I mean, I think they interrupted him. It looked to me like Obama was given more time. But Romney seemed a lot less combative and really let Obama get away with a lot of stuff. And not that I'm even, you know, here defending Romney. It's just that Romney did so good in the first couple of debates, it seemed to fizzle at the end, and kind of the right-wing media spun it that, well, you know, Romney was more presidential. Well, they tried that the first time with Obama. I'll say Obama looks physically ill. He doesn't look like he looked 4 years ago. And again, it's kind of like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, but what's your overall view on the debate we saw?
Yeah, I think that was a calculated method by the Romney people. Come out of the chute very strong. I think they did a pretty good job in the second one because they knew Obama was going to come out and they had to be combative, and that was probably the most combative of the three. But I think by the time they got to the third one, they were really thinking, you know, don't mess this up. We're on a good thing here. The last thing you need is to get too worked up about things, to get too argumentative, to make any major mistakes. So I think they were just at that point being very cautious. Let's just, you know, get through 90 minutes, have a discussion. So the real point that I think a lot of people looked at that debate was that was really supposed to be the highlight for Obama. Obama has been doing foreign policy for the last 4 years. Of course, Romney hasn't, and no one really does. He's not the president or the secretary of state. So it was really a test on him to see if he looked as if he could handle that job. And I think, you know, whether people said he won or lost or whatever the final numbers were, he really did look as if he could handle the job of commander in chief, and I think an awful lot of people said, yeah, okay, he can do this job, and, you know.
Sure, exactly, because we're political junkies, so we're watching and it's totally boring, but Romney understands. With most people, it's just, how does he act? Does he smile? Does he look good? I mean, it does come down to who looks more presidential. It's so ridiculous that that's what you've got to do to win.
That's right. Well, and that's, you know, and the numbers were way, way down. And remember, you had Game 7 of the Major League Baseball. You had Monday Night Football. And it was a 90-minute debate on foreign policy, which a lot of people's eyes just glaze around that topic anyway. I'm guessing that a lot of people watched 30 minutes of it, if they watched it all, and then flipped it off and went to something else, because it was awful dry debate. It was already not going to be electric and exciting, because they were sitting in a chair next to, you know, in chairs next to each other at the same table. Really didn't have the dynamics that the second debate had. And, you know, about halfway through, they had all used their talking points at least once, and it was kind of a rehash for the whole, you know, last 45 minutes. So it was not fascinating. But again, for Romney, you know, all they really needed to do was get through the thing. And Obama, you know, really needed to hit it out of the ballpark. Don't think he did. He did fine. That's why it was just kind of a wash. And at the end of it, I think a lot of people just went, okay, we're finally done with that. Let's get into the next 2 weeks of this thing.
Joe Curl, Washington Times, joins us. I'm asking a lot of the questions here, and I've got some more I want to ask you specifically on the poll numbers we're seeing. But before we go there, and who you think is starting to pull ahead, I mean, Romney is surging. Are there any other points you want to make before we run out of time here?
Well, I think right now, you know, you're starting to really see a shift in some of these battleground states. You know, Rasmussen's got Ohio tied. He's got New Hampshire, Romney up four in New Hampshire. That's a big deal, because we've been, one thing that the mainstream media just says over and over again is, no Republicans ever won the White House without winning Ohio. And that is true, although actually 150 years ago, I think one did. But it's certainly true nowadays. But there are an enormous number of pathways that are opening right now for Romney, with including Michigan's not really in play, but it's getting close, 6 points. Wisconsin's in play.
Colorado.
Pennsylvania's getting tighter. And then you've got places like Colorado, Nevada. Those things, if those places move, Colorado, Nevada, and New Hampshire, assuming that Romney wins Virginia and North Carolina, which is really looking like that's going to happen, and obviously Florida, that's a pathway for Romney to get there without winning Ohio.
Sure, and as you know, the University of Colorado, who hadn't been wrong in several decades, they've got a 76% chance that Romney's going to win the popular vote, but that doesn't win elections. It's electoral college. But looking at that, just bottom line, from my own novice research, I know you focus specifically more on this. I mean, it looks like Romney pretty much is now even ahead in the electoral college.
It does, and if, you know, it, really, we will know, viewers out there will know on election night what's about to take place. If he wins Ohio, Romney is probably done. He probably will win. If he wins New Hampshire, Ohio, North Carolina, and Virginia, that'll be in the Eastern time zone, so that'll be probably before 10 o'clock. We'll have a very good idea of where the rest of the country's going to go, and that happened in 1980. When Reagan was pretty much in the same kind of position, trailing Carter by an awful lot, a couple of good debates, people started to see him as presidential. You remember what happened then? It was a landslide across the country. It just sort of steamrolled. And there are a lot of people that are throwing out there right now that this may well be that kind of case.
My gut tells me that Obama is out, just because the same reason Obama was brought in. People are like, hey, we want the economy to do better. We're just going to put anybody in there. I mean, we could have a ham sandwich running against Obama right now, and the ham sandwich might win. And now that people see that Romney is more animated, I agree with you. Everything shifted toward him, so he will win, minus some type of false flag, some type of October surprise. This is just out. We've confirmed over a month Anonymous has been allowed, with people with official websites and stuff, so the cops could have gone there, to say they're going to storm the White House on November 5th, the day before the election. There's now videos that the police are doing nothing about. saying that they're going to bomb federal buildings. Obviously not Anonymous, the general hackers, but people, probably provocateurs. This looks like Justice Department false flag, fast and furious type stuff. Or they're letting idiots talk and hoping something's happening. I think that's the strategy, too, with all the riot talk. You know, just still exploding after the last debate Monday, calling for death and murder and mayhem, and a very light Secret Service response. They say they're visiting some people. What's your concern on that? I mean, wild cards here, Joe Curl, from the Washington Times. I mean, what type of tricks? Because we know all these White House advisors, Robert Shapiro told the Financial Times of London, and I have it quoted in Paul Watson's article, that minus a new Oklahoma City or 9/11, Obama's not going to get reelected.
Well, that's been rumored out there. We had heard some rumors that Obama and was going to announce some sort of accord with Iran, that they squared away their problems. Excuse me, and that they've got an agreement on nuclear weapons. That's something that's been floating around out there. But the violence, the threats of violence and riots and you know, threats directly against Romney. It's been fascinating in how the Secret Service is always very quick to check out any sort of thing that has to do with Barack Obama. And it's striking that they haven't released all of the investigations they've been doing. Their Twitters, like you guys have posted on InfoWars, Twitter's just, you know, running away with these things. There's hundreds of these different threats. It seems like the Secret Service should be on top of that, and we should be hearing about all of these investigations they're doing. I think that's a worry across the country. It's just, what will the response be? Obviously, you know, the urban centers are much more prone to vote for a Democrat and Barack Obama. So there's worry that if there's the appearance of any sort of improprieties, and especially if the media feeds those speculation or rumors of improprieties during the election, that could actually make things very bad. They'd have to be calling for calm and putting out an awful lot of information on how this has been above board. But we're starting to see already, in the early voting, some anomalies on voting, you know, machine in Ohio. Somebody was trying to vote. They pushed the button for Romney, and then when they were about to vote, it switched it over to Obama. So we're starting to see reports of that.
My office, Joe, and you know, I'll just report, you know, whatever the case is, nonpartisan here. I happen to be a constitutionalist libertarian, so I agree with more Republican, you know, ideas than Democrats, obviously. But I'll report just as I see it. And all I'm getting is feedback that people are unable to vote for Mitt Romney, except for one. I mean, it's got to be 10-1. And these are people that are smart and know who they're voting for, and it's just not even letting them vote straight Republican tickets.
Right, and we saw a report this morning that in Palm Beach, people are filling out absentee ballots, sending those in, and then when they get there, they're put in the hands of election workers, and they actually have to take them over to the machine and put the actual vote in the machine. So then, you know, there's the real questions about whether that could be rife with all kinds of problems and mayhem. So we're just starting to hear these things. I mean, I assume both sides are going to have lawyers all over the place, but that's kind of for election night. You're going to have something, you know, people have started to say upwards of 45% of Americans vote early. So you could have half of the voting population, half of the people that will vote, actually voting before election day.
And that gives the system a lot. And plus, we've seen Obama saying, vote early. We've seen Michelle Obama saying, hey, you may have an overflowing toilet, vote now, because we know statistically it's much easier to manipulate absentee ballots or early voting. What about the troops? Last time I checked, 90%+ of the troops didn't get their ballots and aren't going to be able to vote.
Yeah, they've been saying, and this has been interesting, they've been saying that you will get them, you know, within 10 days of the election, and that they're guaranteed to have arrived by 10 days before the election. So we're still a few days away from that, and that would be plenty of time to get the thing and send it back. But the really frightening thing is if you get to 10 days and 9 days and 8 days, then it's really too late for you to get it. So we'll have to see it 10 days out if everyone has these things in hand. They may have all gone out in the last couple of days. They may be on their way there. They may arrive en masse to, you know, millions of people, which is what they're, you know, all these different election registrars are saying that's what's happening.
Man,
but we'll have to wait and see. My daughter's down in Virginia Tech. She's waiting for her absentee ballot. Still doesn't have it. So I'm interested when she'll get it and when everyone else will get these things.
Joe Curl, people can go up to WashingtonTimes.com and see your articles and others. There's one at WashingtonTimes.com. Emails show U.S. officials told of militants within hours of Benghazi attack. That's Sean Waterman with that report. Obama says Latino vote is key to victory. Vows immigration reform. And we know the illegals are all out there trying to vote. It's just amazing. This is all going on. But in your gut, are you concerned about some type of trick being played? I mean, I just don't see an administration that would pull off Fast and Furious. I just don't see them giving up power easily.
No, and that's been sort of the frightening side of the Obama administration is, a really sort of lawless and rampant Justice Department that will do things like, threaten the Gallup organization on its polling techniques and alleging, improprieties and infractions, putting pressure on, polling agency, which is...
Hold on, got to go to break. One more segment with Joe Curl.
Okay.
Election anomalies. We're going to be looking at them with Bev Harris. Her book got turned into a HBO documentary on black box voting, and then we're seeing a lot of anomalies across the board. So we're going to be looking at that for the next 30 minutes of the next hour. And then it's going to be phone calls and news. I may be having a confirmed military whistleblower on about preparations for civil unrest. It's confirmed he's in the military. It's confirmed he is who he says he is. If it's accurate, and we're still vetting it, it is super creepy. So that may be on the last 30 minutes today. I don't know. Joe Curl, the Washington Times, is our guest. For radio listeners, go to WashingtonTimes.com. It's happening now. It's the top story on the left-hand side. Or if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer, I'm streaming video of it right now. Obama says Latino vote is key to victory, vows immigration reform in 2013. And I was talking to Joe during the break. He said that's what he'd like to close with, is that story. That's actually pretty big because Obama didn't want this balkanizing statement out yet. Joe, give us your take on that.
Well, and he spoke. It was a fascinating sort of development all this morning. He was calling the Des Moines Register to get their endorsement. It's a very big endorsement in Iowa. If you get the Register's endorsement, it sways a lot of people. So he called the newspaper, did 30 minutes with the editorial board there, but the White House demanded that it all be off the record. So this morning, the Des Moines Register wrote a sort of snippy little editorial saying he really should release this. We talked with him. Why can't we just release what he said? And the White House felt an awful lot of pressure, enough pressure to finally go ahead and release it. And what's interesting about it is he says at one point, since this is off the record, I can say this, because he wants to speak bluntly and actually say what he's thinking, which is, I did a really important thing for my reelection, which was the Dream Act, basically naturalizing millions of young illegal aliens. And the Republicans have a problem with that issue. I'm in good position. If I get reelected, it will be because of the Latino vote. And when I get reelected, I will push through immigration reform. So he's basically making a very blunt vow to do this, and he's making a blunt admission that this is how he intended to get reelected, to spike that.
And then if he gets that, it would be game over, because a lot of these people coming here are getting on welfare. And as long as they get their welfare, they'll vote to take my guns. And that's why I'm against this unlimited immigration. We already have the most open immigration in the world. And I don't want to become Latin America, or I'd move down there, because those are not free countries.
And you've got big cities like Los Angeles now is moving ahead with driver's licenses for illegal aliens. And that's a huge problem, because that's an official identification document. Once you have one of those, you can do an awful lot of things with that. I think that has always been. I mean, imagine trying to get a a driver's license in Switzerland if you're not a citizen of Switzerland.
If I go to Mexico, I got to jump through special hoops to even buy land. They're not going to give me a driver's license. I mean, I can't go down there and get free health care or go down there with my wife and say, hey, I'm here to have a baby. Pay for it.
Right. And then this whole, you know, the whole idea now that
anchor babies.
The only party that will look after the interests of Americans from other countries. And that's really where this sort of flips over. I mean, you would imagine that legal immigrants to this country would not be all that happy with illegal immigrants. They had to go through a process to get here. These illegal immigrants didn't. But the underlying message is that Republicans will be mean to Hispanics and Democrats love Hispanics.
And that's not even true. The Republicans are trying to legalize. And it isn't even a Hispanic issue, even though that's the main group. It's an issue of giant third world populations, criminals, all of it coming here. Joe Curl, thank you so much for the time with us. We'll watch your reports at WashingtonTimes.com and hope to talk to you before the election's up.
That's good. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in the next segment, the premier investigator of election fraud ahead of the election has got some breaking news for us. Bev Harris is going to be joining us. And I always give her website out wrong. I want to make sure I get the website right here. There's a couple of them of a similar name, but I know it's Black Box Voting. It's an invaluable place I visit routinely. I'm going to cover this after she leaves us and then open the phones up. This is really a hoax because the CNBC and the media are announcing we're removing the naked body x-ray machines. No, they just have even more expensive backscatter that they've had scientists all over the news say breaks up your DNA. In some cases, may be worse than the classical x-rays. But if you go to drudgereport.com, we also have it up at infowars.com, you can see the miscreant, Big Sis, Janet Napolitano, Big Sis pulls naked body scanners. And I guess technically you could say that's true because it's, you know, these type. But they're being sent to the smaller airports to now basically roast the people that are working there. And I happen to know from good transportation people who are in management and also some former TSA people that quit over it. In fact, guys, I don't even have to say it from sources. Will you guys print me the cancer cluster at Boston Logan? It's like Boston Globe articles from a year ago, and there's a bunch of them. So I have that data pack when I get to this. It's not just my memory. The point is they're upset, and they've had meetings, and they go, hey, we think being around these x-ray machines all day are bad for us. Really? You think it might be a little bad for you there? I've shown the local Fox News piece out of upstate New York. I've also seen one out of Oregon where they just have on the highways big mobile trucks with huge x-ray wands that are so powerful. I've had radiologists on. They're at least 10 times more powerful than a powerful chest x-ray. They have you drive under it. At least with the Border Patrol, it's in shielding. They put trucks on it, get back. It's in a room, and then there's a conveyor belt that moves the truck or car through it to be x-rayed. That's how they've had them for 30-something years. Now they just have National Guard or TSA idiots. And I'm not against the poor National Guard or even the poor TSA people, but they are idiots. I mean, if I was 14 years old and people told me run an outdoor giant x-ray machine, I'd go, well, why does the dentist get behind the wall when he gives me an x-ray and put a lead shield over my Wavos, my Kikis? I mean, it's real simple here. I mean, I probably, when I was 10 years old, would know not to do this. In fact, I've got to do a newscast, maybe for tonight or tomorrow night's news. I'm doing the whole news tomorrow. I may do it tomorrow night. Where we need to go and pull, it's like Fox News, like 4 years ago out of upstate New York, where it shows even the type of unit. We were able to look it up with these big wands off the backs of trucks, and they're standing around in broad daylight, National Guard, not at the borders, in the middle of the country, going, all right, drive 100. And it's like, this system lets us see guns or drugs or... And it shows shots of, you know, mock guns in cars. You can see the guns in the trunk. Newsflash, folks. X-rays that can shoot through metal are real bad for you. I don't know if I need to. I mean, I laugh about this. This is just crazy. So it is not the public angry at these naked body scanners that did this. They started having cancer clusters. They put them in 10 years ago at Boston Logan and four other airports. All five airports have cancer clusters seven times or higher. I mean, it's a death warrant. You work there a couple years around these X-ray machines, you're going to die. They're getting cataracts. They're going blind. Their gums are bleeding. Oh, I got TSA listening right now going, is that why I got cataracts? Get out of there. Get away from them. That's why they're pulling them.
Got a business that you didn't build, that somebody else made that happen.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining us for another hour in defense of liberty and resistance to tyranny. You have found it the tip of the spear when it comes to defending our republic from enemies foreign and domestic. I am, what do you call a throwback? I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in the family. I believe in good health and organic food. I believe in justice. And I believe in going after the corrupt bullies that are trying to take over our society. Because to quote a posthumous quote of a bygone era from an unknown author, no man escapes when freedom fails. The best men rot in filthy jails. And those that cried appease, appease, are hanged by those they tried to please. Groveling and licking boots will give you slavery. Putting your head down and going along with the system will not protect you. Up front for a while, it may be okay to be a slug, but over time, it will grow a lot of wolves, and they will get very aggressive. Bev Harris is an American writer, activist, and founder of Black Box Voting, Inc. Blackboxvoting.org is her amazing website, a national nonpartisan nonprofit elections watchdog group. She helped to popularize the term Black Box Voting while authoring a book of the same title, and of course, her research got made into a film that aired on HBO that was very popular and award-winning. It was also in theaters. She discovered the source code for voting machine manufacturer Diebold Election Systems, which now operates under the name Premier Election Systems. After examining these files, Harris wrote an article in 2003 detailing how to bypass passwords and manipulate election results on the Diebold GEMS central tally system. It's designed for fraud. Harris filed a whistleblower lawsuit against Diebold Election Systems and had made false claims when selling their system to Alameda, California. Diebold paid the state of California $2.6 million to settle the case. That's just an example of hundreds of things she's done, literally hundreds, digging in trash cans, proving they didn't count votes, catching them driving off. There are so many different ways to engage in fraud, but it's that comptroller centralized way we've got to look for. And here it is, folks. Our election system is a joke compared to many countries. I don't trust the UN to be here overseeing it. They're just as bad or worse. But here's Forbes, not Bev Harris. Romney family investment ties to voting machine company that could decide the election, causing concern. Really, you think so? And you've got this going on now, like Senator Hagel, you know, got voted in on machines. He owned almost all the machines in the state of Nebraska. And this just goes on and on and on. Democrats are famous for their retail fraud, voting repeatedly, and some election fraud at centralized systems, mainly locally. Am I wrong, Bev, to say, though, Republicans seem to have it down in big national thieving? Or is that an oversimplification?
Well, it is complex. And I think what we can certainly say is the good old boys from both parties want the system to be open for business. And you know that because it doesn't matter how many times it's proven, they don't solve anything. The same exact systems that we demonstrated were easily hackable in Hacking Democracy, the film that you mentioned, are still in use with no changes. They know it's open for business. You have to figure that that was maybe a feature that they want. And I don't know if I would even go so far as to say which party, but I will say, you know, in your lead-in, when you talk about the Romney family having ownership ties to Hardiner Civic, which is now the second biggest voting machine company in the United States, that is unprecedented.
At a national level, I forget the numbers, but wasn't it the election that got Senator Hagel in? Didn't his company that he actually founded and controlled, didn't it count something like 92% of the votes or something?
Right, right. And at the time, you know, I just got, they were like, how dare you report? How could that possibly be that that's impropriety? Well, now we have a presidential candidate whose family is into ownership of the machines that count his votes. And make no mistake about it, whether they have a paper ballot or not, they are concealing the count from the public. And essentially, whoever controls those machines controls the outcome.
Well, it's amazing. And I guess Romney's argument would be, I'm being sarcastic here, is, hey, the illegals get to vote twice for Obama, so I just get to take... I mean, it's amazing to see these different crime syndicates fighting over the levers.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because when people say, oh, it's the Republicans doing it, oh, it's the Democrats doing it, no, it's the crooks doing it.
Exactly. You know?
And they come in all colors and stripes.
Incredible. Well, I mean, I know you've got a lot on your radar screen. We'll obviously try to get you on right after the election. What's some of the main chicanery you're tracking right now over at blackboxvoting.org?
Well, you know, one of the things that concerns me very much is, as you know, let me just backtrack a second. You watched election returns on election night, and you see this charade where they say, oh, the polls have just closed in Texas, and the result is, you know, they announce it within 60 seconds. Even with electronic voting, let me tell you, the result, not one vote is counted in 60 seconds. The results, even from electronic voting, don't come out for 20 minutes or so at the soonest. So what they're doing is they're saying our exit polls have told us that we're projecting that this winner, and they just aren't supposed to announce what their exit polls say. Well, they have now, and by the way, all the news media, which pretends that they're competing for the data, you know, it's such a joke. They actually all use one firm called National Election Pool, NEP, and so they're all using exactly the same numbers when they project. Well, now, NEP, which, bear in mind, is being paid by every major network plus the Associated Press, is claiming it doesn't have enough money to do exit polls in 19 states. Now, really?
Wow.
So I'm thinking we should all have our stopwatches out and watch how the networks handle this. You know, the polls have just closed in Oklahoma. There are no exit polls. You know what? You're not going to have any votes counted for about 20 minutes, and you're not going to have all of those counted until about, you know, 10 or 11 p.m.
Sure, but expanding
so
on that.
How are they coming up with this? Who's winning?
Well, sure. Let's go back to Iowa, what we saw in the Republican primaries. And Ron Paul, you know, God bless him, I guess he doesn't want to look like a sore loser, so he would never say anything. But even the New York Times had to admit that he'd really won Maine and really won Iowa. I mean, and then and then Karl Rove goes on and goes, there were some guys got lost in some trucks, and nobody knows where they are.
Yeah.
And then he even, that guy's trying to cue that up. Darren McBreen has it. You know, it's where the horses are racing and all that. And John Bowne, you made that little piece because we cut in as a joke with Karl Rove's statement, you know, some Kentucky Derby horses, and magically Karl Rove has them move forward. But even Karl Rove was laughing about this because they were all tallied at the precinct and then phoned in and posted. There were no trucks and ballots. And then it turned out Republicans bragged days before on radio that they were going to cheat Ron Paul. I mean, could that be their downfall, their out-and-out arrogance?
Well, that's always the downfall of an elite that is taking over power, is they always underestimate the common sense and the brilliance of the everyday man.
Well, what was your take on the stuff we saw in the primaries?
I mean, oh my gosh. Well, yeah, I'll tell you exactly what my take was. And I am nonpartisan. I want to be able to say Obama this and Romney this. But the bottom line is the Romney people, his employees, took over the Iowa caucuses and ran them, same with Nevada. And then we saw chicanery. And what my take was is this in November is going to be brutal because he's not even arm's length. He just... I'm sorry. He just obviously tampered Iowa, Nevada, Maine, and some very squirrely results came out of South Carolina. That came off of the voting machines, actually, where the algorithms just looked like they just didn't make sense. But, you know, if that's the case, and then we find out that ahead of time, in July 2011, his family got involved in ownership of the voting machine company. Let me tell you, there's something different about the way that Hart, which is the company associated with Romney, Hart voting machines, are programmed. In most locations in the United States, they don't program them locally in the county. They don't have their local IT guy do it. They send them directly to the Hart company, and the Hart company sends them back the memory cards and says, here, put this in your voting machine. So if I'm a presidential candidate and I own that company, all I need is a couple of guys, maybe just one, who is a technician in the plant, and he basically is given the memory cards for the strategic counties.
Well, that's right. And then we can also debate all day whether or not there are connections with George Soros and foreign voting companies. But we do know a lot of the companies now that operate here are foreign owned. So,
So,
I mean, why not have the communist Chinese government run our voting machines? I mean, this is insane what we put up with.
Well, it's not democracy. It's not a democratic republic. It's just the government choosing itself. That's what it is. And once the public starts to understand that, hey, if we can't see the counting itself, the original count, not some after-the-fact, you know, theater, if we can't see and authenticate that, we don't have a system where we have sovereignty, we don't have a system where the public is in control, it's not self-government.
You're right, it's not self-government. Are you thinking we're going to see a pretty big circus this year?
Yeah. There's a lot of things. Colorado, you know, talking about these Hart voting machines with Ohio, where in Cincinnati, and that's going to be a problem. I agree. But Colorado is very dominated by these Hart inter-civic voting machines, and there are so many strange things that have come out of Colorado. Let me just mention, the Secretary of State has said, let's not put seals on the voting machines this year. It costs too much. Bear in mind, the seals cost a penny, okay? Why are they not sealing things?
Stay there. They came and took it all away.
They came and took it all away.
Yeah, it was an inside job. Just like it always is. Well, we've got a short segment here with Bev Harris and a big news blitz and your calls coming up. I'll give the number out in the next segment. But Bev has agreed to come on in the days after the election when she can really track what's happening and what's unfolding. But blackboxvoting.org is also supported by people who donate because she's got to do filing. She's got to pay for things. I want to get into what you're expecting in this election and what you were trying to say about Colorado as we went to that hard break. But how do people support the work you're doing?
They go to blackboxvoting.org, and we have a physical address there and also an online donation page. It is really important because coming into this election, it usually costs us about $50,000 to just get the records. And by the way, I started to mention Colorado. They passed a last-minute law that said no one can get any records until 45 days after the election. It's suspicious as heck, let me tell you. But we intend to get them anyway. What we need the records for is for litigation and to prove the case because we have to get the public to the point. We've done a lot of proving over the last 10 years, but it seems each election cycle we get a whole new wave of people who start to understand and get it and make and take action themselves.
And let's remember, 10 years ago when you'd come on my show, people are like, Hagel owns the company that 90%+ vote for him on in Nebraska? You mean these companies can remote access these? You mean engineers are going public in legislatures and testifying they were hired to engage in fraud?
Right.
And there's
right.
been, I mean, you know, it's come out in Ohio there was fraud. I mean, this is really going on. So we've gone from most Americans not knowing it's even happening to, well, I guess it's just fraud.
Well, we are getting to a tipping point. We're getting closer. I can feel it because I was there and you were there back in the day. And back then, we were getting called all kinds of labels. Oh, we were conspiracy theorists and this and that. Well, you know, it's been proven by umpteen universities. There's been, you know, several different cases that have been won in lawsuits now. And it's just a matter of getting this big mammoth behemoth country that we have to the tipping point so that enough people really do understand it. And secondly, that they do not accept it. Because if we start accepting this stuff, it's all over.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, it's one thing to battle for people to finally wake up and realize this is happening, but then do we just accept it and go, well, I'm still going to go be part of the, you know, the event, even though it's not real. I want to feel like I have power. We need to get in and go back to paper ballots briefly. What else are you going to be looking for in this election, A, and then B, what are some of the basic things that need to be done to get our election system back?
Well, we have a video on the very front page, the very top, that gives a simple thing that people can do in most of the country that will help block one attack vector. You mentioned earlier that some of these companies are foreign-owned. One of the huge foreign-owned companies is SOE Software, which is reporting the results, not counting, but reporting the results for 1,400 locations in 26 states. It's massive. So what that means is what comes out of even the voting machine has an opportunity to be changed before it's reported to the public. So that video shows you how you can block that or catch that by simply capturing a photograph of a specific document as the polls close to show, because you don't have to catch it everywhere. You just have to catch it in one or two places, and it's everybody out of the pool. This place is changing results.
And I've seen different breakdowns by universities. The United States has one of the least transparent, rated as one of the worst systems in the world. But Americans don't realize we're now not the laughingstock. People in foreign countries, they know we're a joke.
Oh, yeah. You know, the Carter Center monitors elections in foreign countries, and they announced in 2008 that we don't even qualify for their monitors because we have an election system that is worse than Bosnia-Herzegovina. It's worse than Uganda. It is a joke. And Europe understands this. I mean, there's three countries in Europe now that have banned electronic voting. And they're looking at the United States just going, what are you guys doing?
Well, there's a reason we live under so much tyranny, because they know we can't get rid of them by and large. I mean, that's quite a realization that we've been taken over.
Well, and we've been taken over. I should also mention this isn't just the United States. This is a global effort. There's no question about it. The same exact companies, ES&S and, you know, Dominion is the name of one of the ones, they're also taking over the voting in other countries. There's a big citizens movement in India now. There's one in the Philippines.
You know what, Bev? I know I only had you scheduled for two segments. Can you do five more to break down the constellation of companies and what they're doing globally?
What time are we at right now?
It's 12:30 Central.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, let's come back and finish up with that because I want to talk about the companies, what's happening worldwide, and then we'll get on to the news. We'll be right back with Bev Harris. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
I'm going to leave you.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Hangman, hangman, hold it a little while. I think I see my friends coming, riding many a mile. My friends, you get some silver, you get a little gold. What did you bring me, my dear friend?
Okay, Bev Harris finishing up with us. I'm Alex Jones. If you just tuned in, your host. We're talking about black boxes run by proprietary companies with courts ruling that it's proprietary and no one in government, private citizens, can know what's going on with wireless modems hooked up to machines where you've got exit polls not matching, admitted fraud caught over and over again, companies caught going in and manipulating things. I mean, they've been caught. And here we stand. So Bev, in closing, go over some of the companies and what's happening worldwide and the resistance forming to it. I mean, this is how you get rid of the pesky people in their own republics or in their own democracies actually having power. It's very simple. If you can get your machines in and get people to accept it and have your prostitute media be compliant and say, oh, conspiracy theorists say there's fraud, then you and I and the Collier brothers and countless others prove it's a fraud over the last few decades. And they're like, okay, but now there's not fraud. So break down how big this problem is and where you see it going.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, just understand that if you are a multinational corporation doing resource extraction or different, you know, things like that, you want to be able to put your thumb on the scale of legislation, because the one thing that can impede your profits is some pesky legislature passing laws against things that you want to do. So you want to be able to control which politicians are in there. You don't want to just do it in one country, because you're a global multinational corporation. You want your thumb on the scale in multiple countries. So that's one thing. There's about four big boys in terms of the voting machine companies. Also understand they're all interrelated in terms of their ownership and the key people, and that in many cases we don't know who owns them because they don't see they have to tell us. But the big ones, there's one called Dominion, which is headquartered out of Canada, which is also associated and licenses its stuff to one called Smartmatic, which is out of Venezuela. And then there's ESNS, which is huge globally. It's all over the world. And there is Heart Inner Civic, which is the one that's associated with Romney. And there's Seidel, which is one that's owned by a Barcelona, Spain company. Now, these different companies, and they are interrelated guys in many cases, are really pushing exactly the same concept into many, many countries at once. And the citizens in many countries are starting to figure it out. It's not just here. I'm in contact very often with guys in India, because in India, the government literally built its own voting machines and chooses itself. And they're very aware of that there. In the Philippines, they have this company. It's a joke. It's out of Venezuela, and it licenses stuff from this Dominion company, which also runs the New York voting. And, you know, it's crazy. One election, they had results show up which are out of Colombia in the Philippines. And they're saying, don't worry, trust us, it's okay. You know, so this is, it's a secret, concealed voting system push and get it into all these different countries and just tell people, don't worry, it's a computer, it's okay. Obviously, whoever built the computer controls the outcome.
Well, you've used the analogy of bank cards and bank security. I mean, imagine if banking security was like this, nothing would be secure. I mean, it's this one area that they're just like, trust us. And then there's all the fraud, all the anomalies, all the payouts, uh-huh, all the scams, all the things that have come out hundreds of times. And they still just smile at us and say, just trust us. And then Karl Rove goes on Fox News and makes jokes about Iowa and just make stuff up, and then it turns out there was fraud, and then they have Republican operatives on shows bragging, saying, yeah, Ron Paul's not going to win. Wait and see what happens next week. And then that happens. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, it is in your face now, and one of the things that I think is the next step is to try to get people accustomed to it so that we accept it. And so, you know, the open link in the circle of control is they have to have an illusion that elections are real. And they have to have acceptance of the election system. That's the open link. That we cannot allow to close up by either saying we accept it, we don't need to know what's going on. If it takes 75 years to fix this thing, we can't quit, because this is all the marbles. It literally is all the marbles for self-governance versus tyranny.
No, you're right. Here in Austin, the polls I saw were over 80% were against this hospital district that makes us pay for abortions, but not just that. They want us to pay for a new private medical school. And the former Austin mayor, Kirk Watson, who's a state senator, you know, famous for land grabs and things under environmental fronts, you know, he's saying, oh, you know, we really need this. And then it turns out even the proposition a court has ruled is illegal. But the propositions never fail because Austin's famous for fraud. Hard Earner Civics, by the way, is based here, for those that don't know, that Romney.
Right.
And so now people know you've got to beat the proposition in court. You've got to beat it, never even let it get to the ballot, because they don't ever vote anything down here. I mean, if they get it on the ballot to roast your newborn children every Halloween, they would. I mean, it would pass. It's just amazing
to
be.
Yeah, that's the thing. And why, you know, when you start looking at private equity companies owning the voting machines, private equity companies are the same companies that own, you know, hospital chains and so forth. It's clearly not public self-government. And so we have to keep our eyes on the ball and go, look, we insist on the right to see and authenticate every essential step of our elections without need for special expertise, and you can't substitute some after-the-fact procedure for being able to authenticate the original. That's what they got across in Germany using the Supreme Court. That's been emulated in Ireland. That's what we need to keep focusing on here. It's our ability to authenticate our own elections.
And by the way, they act like we're too big a country to do this. Folks, all they do in the system that works, correct me if I'm wrong, in closing with Bev Harris, is all you do is you have the little micro precinct.
Right.
And they count the paper ballot, then that's publicly posted on the wall. Everyone right. could see it. And then you have the precinct added all up. That's posted. Then you add right. all the precincts up, and it's actually very good. It works, and it's super hard to engage in any type of fraud with that.
Right. It's the concept of dispersed control. What we're doing with voting machines is centralized control. That's not what this country was founded on. It was founded on the premise of dispersal of power.
Yeah, people argue all day about, you know, what type of system of government we want. We need a republic where it's dispersal of power and where the people, you know, have the right to make the decisions and where we're on top. And they have these preachers at 501c3 churches teaching under government order, basically, to teach Romans 13 out of context, submit to Caesar, do what Caesar says. Well, we are Caesar. We are the boss.
Right. Right. I mean, once we get it under, you know, it's like we have this inferiority complex that is being drummed into us. And the fact is we created this country. We made this country what it is, using those dispersed power systems. And so we need to keep that up.
Well, people need to go donate at blackboxvoting.org. Our listeners are incredible. And they've donated to us over the years with once-a-year fund drive we've done for 5 years to help build the TV studio and do so many other things and now get satellite uplinks. I want to thank listeners for the money bomb last week, the 48-hour transmission. It's important to support our AM and FM affiliates, to call them and thank them. A lot of new stations picking us up, to sponsor them if you're a local business. It's called Voting with Your Dollars, to support sponsors you hear on those stations. Because, you know, you buy nothing but Chinese slave goods, you end up deindustrializing your country. You end up supporting local businesses, you end up having a community. And I can't think of anybody better to support than Bev Harris, who's totally nonpartisan, who's had all these lawsuits, who's won, who's exposed things, who's got, you know, Hacking Democracy on HBO, who really, more than anybody, helped break through. There's been a lot of other great investigators, but she, with her dogged, you know, former corporate fraud investigator, who started looking into this. In closing, Bev, people can donate at blackboxvoting.org. So important. We can't wait to have you on to break down, you know, what transpires. Hopefully it won't be too bad this year after the election. But in closing, what woke you up to this?
Just the secrecy, the fact that we didn't know who owned the companies. We couldn't watch anything. We couldn't get any way to authenticate it. Having been in corporate fraud and done reporting on that, when you start having things go under behind closed doors, you start having fraud. It's human nature. We're not going to change human nature just because we had an electronic computerized machine. There's going to be people who want to exploit it. They're going to do it. They've done it. And we need to get the public up to speed on what's really going on.
Yeah, I've talked to executives and people, and I've looked up the numbers on this, but concur, if this is what you found, around half the people in corporate America, they estimate, are stealing. And, of course, a lot of them get caught. It's a recklessness. And I've never cheated or stolen like six packs of beer out of golfers' golf carts when I was a teenager, and I didn't think of that as stealing, but it was. But I've never been like a thief. I don't have a criminal mind. I have kind of a straightforward mind. But you know what? That criminal mind is out there, and now that corruption has just been accepted, it's obviously getting worse. I mean, take Lance Armstrong. I ranted about it yesterday, saying, you know, the system itself was engaged in fraud too and allowed him to cheat because he was such a big name. That's coming out, and people are like, so what, Alex? Everybody takes drugs. I smoke pot. Don't bash people that use drugs. We're not bashing people that use pot. We're saying cheating in sports, being an icon for kids. I mean, we've gotten so corrupt now that people are like, oh, let Armstrong cheat. Don't put down Austin. I mean, it's just so weird.
Yeah, well, and we have to keep holding the fort against that stuff, because once we accept corruption, what are we doing? We're just becoming slaves and handing over our freedom to some guy who wants to make a lot of money while we, you know, look who has to follow the laws now, only the little guy.
Exactly. And Mexico, North Korea, once corruption sets in and you accept it, it's over. I mean, I'll go back to this quote here, and I want your take on them. We'll let you go. No man escapes when freedom fails. The best men rot in filthy jails. And those that cry to appease, appease are hanged by those they tried to please. Folks, you're not going to get ahead licking boots and groveling. That's the creed of slaves. Who are slaves? People that don't stand and fight. Bev Eris.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a brilliant quote. Absolutely true. And I thank you, Alex, for continuing to remind people of the truth. You know, the truth does have a way of bubbling up, and you've been a brilliant vessel in that regard.
Well, God bless you, and we'll talk to you right after the election. Thank you, Bev Eris.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow, there she goes. Folks, I'm going to stop right here for a moment before I get into other news and your calls for a mid-air refueling. It is your purchase of books, videos, T-shirts, ball caps, high-quality water filters discounted, all of it that funds this operation. I have 51 crew members. We reach 15 million people a week now. It was 3 million 5 years ago a week. And we're exploding. And to everybody in the media that supports us, everybody in talk radio that supports us, you know who you are. Everybody out there that helps Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, I want to thank you. But we're a platform, and have been a platform for people like Ron Paul to get the word out, or Bev Harris, or other authors and researchers and countless others who really finally break out. You know, take the CNN whistleblower, Amber Lyon. Her story got a little bit of traction. She came on here. She's all over big shows all over the country now. And, you know, she said, wow, your show got my story to break out. That's why it's so valuable. You know, despite my personality and you know, ego, and all those type of things, despite all of that, that's a side issue. That's why I'm trying to bring in other crew members, other talk show hosts, other researchers, other reporters, because you know, it's about the information, and it's about growing this operation to really be able to cover full spectrum what's going on. Because you know, we stay hungry when it comes to the fight for liberty. I don't just sit here and go, well, I'm reaching 3 million a week. I think I'll, you know, stop now. Or, oh, I'm reaching 15 million. You know, I guess we've hit the top. No. Because the top for me is defeating the globalists. It isn't about money. It isn't about fame. It isn't about somebody pulling my chair out for me. It isn't about people telling me how great I am. That is not, I mean, when I read about a mother where they were grabbing the daughter's crotch, she tried to videotape it, so they roughed her up and arrested her, and the Knoxville jury in Knoxville, Tennessee, where we're on the radio, on WBCR, Mr. Grothjohn and others, great, one of our oldest affiliates. I know there's great people there. It is so upsetting to me that the judge said, the police say it's disorderly conduct, you will convict her. And they took that order and did it, even though the jury's speaking out now and the local news saying, well, we didn't like what happened to her, but we had to convict her. Juries judge the law as well as the facts. That means, you know, they had juries that said, you're going to convict this white person who helped this black person escape where they were being half beaten to death every week at a plantation. And northern juries, but also southern juries, started saying, you know what, I don't care if there's a law saying life in prison for that. This guy deserves a medal. That's one of your other ways to vote. They've taken a lot of the voting away. There's fraud all over the country. it's a patchwork of fraud, but it's endemic. They've taken our right to vote away, but we've still got the right to sue these people. We've still got the right to get in their face and publicly shame them. We've still got most of these corrupt government people are all engaged in crime. You start following around with a video camera, you start digging into their life, you can destroy them. We've got to get aggressive with crooks, okay? So we'll destroy them politically, we'll destroy them digging up dirt on them, we'll destroy them suing them, and we'll destroy them with grand juries and juries. Fully informed movement that Red Beckman started. I want to get Red Beckman back on. He's a national treasure. We got to get him on a few times a year. He's very old now, had a lot of health problems. But we need to get him on. He's an icon. The jury nullification movement is one of the few things we got left with these out of control crooks that want to teach us to have a broken will. But I started digressing. The point is, go to InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com and get the magazines at cost in groups of 10 up to 100 at cost. You know, 10 of them for $14.95. That is our cost. That's shipping included. We've also got a year subscription, $59.95, 13 issues, because you get the first one thrown in there, 13 issues for $59.95. Folks, that includes the shipping. The shipping's like half the money in that cost. So you just get 13 of them in your mail, don't have to mess with it, order once. That's at cost. The way we turn a profit with this is the advertising. So the point is, these are like big color books. It's 46 pages now. The new issue coming out is going to be 60. And I mean, the graphics, it's world class, folks. World class. And again, I plug this all the time because it's a great message in a bottle. This is a great pamphleteer tool. Also, Pro Pure Water Filters, the lowest price anywhere already at InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsShop.com. But we have it 10% off with promo code WATER. 10% off. We're like 70-some% of their sales, folks, because we have that 10% discount. ProPure, lowest price anywhere. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Start filtering your water. Just the chemtrailing alone, the aluminum in the water is so high now, you got to filter that stuff out. InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back.
I hurt myself today.
To see if I still feel. I focus on the pain. The only thing that's real.
The only thing.
And that is Johnny Cash singing a Nine Inch Nails song narrated by Alex Jones. The old familiar sting. Try to kill it all the way. But I remember everything. What have I become, my sweetest friend?
Everyone I know goes away in the end.
But you could have it all.
And you could have it all.
My empire of dirt. I will let you in.
I will let you down.
I will make you hurt.
I will make you hurt.
And I know it's, I will let you down, but it's like, I'll let you in, and then I'll let you down. You know, that whole song is about the fact that nothing really matters but your friends and your family and your relationships and all this crud. The globalists want to keep you poor so that you're always scrabbling for just enough to live so that you never in your hierarchy of needs become more advanced. It's a form of slavery and it's wrong. And that's why they want to destroy our markets. They want to destroy our industry. They want to destroy our local communities. Because it is a system of control. Control is the name. But the good thing about it is there's good and there's evil in this world. So evil doesn't get to have everything at once unless it convinces you you don't have power. Now, we played this clip last year during the primaries. Or I guess it was earlier this year during the Republican primaries, unedited from Fox News. But John Bound put it a piece together with a Kentucky horse race with it. It's not very powerful on radio, but if you're watching at PrisonPlanet.tv, it shows horse races, and then Karl Rove shoots down some magic Emperor Palpatine lightning bolts, and Mitt Romney and others pull ahead of Ron Paul. Here it is.
Romney is going to win the Iowa caucuses by 14 votes. How solid is your evidence?
From a pretty good, reliable source. They made the correction in Story County, which moved it from an 18-point margin for Santorum to a four-vote margin for Santorum. Clinton County, right. You have the one outstanding precinct in the state, and that it will show an 18-vote victory in that precinct for Mitt Romney, which will give him a statewide victory of 14.
And from out of nowhere, it's Rick Santorum.
Santorum.
So I don't understand. You're saying that they basically have come to an agreement as to what the vote's going to be?
Iowa is very, they do politics there in a very polite fashion. And if they came to a disagreement like this tonight, whether they can't find the guy who's got the official piece of paper, they apparently have rounded up the representatives of the camps who have agreed, yes, we were there, we know exactly what the vote total was, and we both agreed to what it was.
One problem with that, there are no trucks driving around with lost ballots. It's all done right there at the precinct, and then it's posted on the wall and the phone calls made, and that didn't match those. And it came out it was fraud later, months later. But you're not supposed to challenge that. You're supposed to just play the game. It's like putting a 100-pound boxer in with a 300-pound super heavyweight and going, this is a fair fight. Or it's like putting my grandmother on crutches in the ring with Mike Tyson at his prime and going, it's a fair fight. Nothing to worry about. Everything's okay, like Bill Murray in the swimming pool. Just a candy bar. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back. The toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. And let me tell you, we got a ton of news and a ton of craziness in your phone calls. I haven't gotten to any of the really hardcore stuff yet, so let me tell you, you want to tune into the next hour.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, I mentioned this yesterday. I never got to it. I will at the bottom of the hour because it's so important. Now I'm looking for it. I had it right here in my stack. I was just looking at it. I'll tell you, there's just too much information. Where they're admitting that groups are hacking into cell phones and to your computers and downloading your private, I guess, home shot pornography. I guess that's some popular thing to do, and that ties into a Paul Joseph Watson article breaking it down. The TSA is now saying, oh, we're going to take the radiation scanners out. That's not really true. We're going to be breaking that down. A bunch of economic news as well. U.S. companies sharpen job cutting, shears as sales slow. I'm going to be getting to all of that and a lot more today in this final hour. But let's go to your calls as promised. I'm going to get to a lot of those before I get into the news. Stephen in Florida, thank you for calling today. Welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, Alex. A couple things I just wanted to cover real quick. First of all, I got a neighbor across the street from me who works at Universal Studios over here in Central Florida. It's a big theme park. And he mentioned to me that they have a parody they're doing. They covered, like, different things in a humorous vein of what's gone on through the year. And, of course, they're covering the political campaign. And so they're portraying Obama and Romney. And they have Obama with a bikini-clad woman and Romney with a real conservative, you know, Mormon-type woman. Anyway, what's happened is they have, like, people that visit there can, like, comments, you know, handwritten and turn them in as they leave. And he said, overwhelmingly, what has happened is Republican Romney supporters are putting in, basically doing what you've been covering about what's going on with Twitter with Obama supporters. These people are putting in death threats to the people working there, to the actors and such, et cetera, to the point where now Universal's had to actually change the way they're doing that skit and making it, because they were saying, you're making it look like Obama is the favored one. And so now they've made it kind of look more like they're both.
Hey, I want to investigate this. Is this in the news?
No, he said they don't want it out there in the public because it's, you know, be bad for publicity.
Okay, this is Universal there in Orlando?
Yes, sir. And he's been there 6 years, and he's real reliable. He's on board with what's going on with what you're exposing.
And they have a say that again. What is it? It's cross-dressing Obama and Romney.
No, what they're doing, they're showing guys in suits supposed to be impersonating Obama and Romney, and then they have Obama with a bikini-clad woman making him look like a lecherous, fool. And then Romney, he tells the woman, you shut up and just stand there and be quiet.
Okay, I misunderstood. I thought, because I kind of halfway heard the first thing of what you said. Okay, so it sounds like it's anti-Obama.
Well, no, actually, because they
have... Oh, yeah, because I guess with a modern American, it's cool to have the bikini-clad chick, so Romney's the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. So they've changed it to where now they've been, both of them wearing the same kind of suit, and both of them with a bikini-clad woman.
So wait a minute, so this is what they're teaching kids, that married men are supposed to be with bikini women?
Yeah, apparently what they're putting forth there, and I mean...
Sounds really weird. Point. What is the name of this? I'll try to look it up. Universal Studios Obama Romney skit?
Yeah, it's just they do a thing covering what's gone on throughout the year, and they've been doing a parody, basically, kind of making fun of both candidates, but the way it's been come across, he said it was obvious to people anyway, that it looks like they're favoring Obama, so the Republican visitors coming in there.
Oh, here it is. It's actually on Fox News locally. And it says what you were saying, that Universal Studios Romney skit lauds Obama, laughs at Romney.
Right. But they're getting death threats on the actors. That's the one thing. And on people leaving if they were supportive of Obama, they were actually writing comments threatening
them
as well.
Wow, that's not good. Well, I guess the Secret Service has got to look into it. Well, I guess they're busy. My question here, looking at this, is... Why did they even come up with something like this? It's so crazy that they force feed us this and make like politics an entertainment sport.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back, my friends. I am your host, Alex Jones. We are here Monday through Friday, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern, blasting out on XM 166. Now, over 130 AM and FM affiliates, WWCR, Global Shortwave, and number one, according to many metrics, when it comes to the free podcast you can subscribe to in the listen section, where it just says listen at Infowars.com. Says Alex Jones Radio Show. That's got the free iPhone apps, links to the free Droid apps that are out there, links to just all sorts of stuff at the Alex Jones Radio Show link at Infowars.com. And, of course, number one, not just talk show, but many months, number one total on Shoutcast. That's just one way we stream. Alexa.com shows that. Again, I'm not bragging. I'm saying freedom is popular. That even, with my ham-fisted attempts at fighting the globalist, we're having this much success. So come on in, folks, for the big win against the New World Order. Speaking of big wins, major airports to remove invasive X-ray body scanners. And this is a win, but not a complete win. We're going to break that down at the bottom of the hour. I've also got economic news I've got to get to, proving we're going into a depression. And again, people say, well, don't be negative. Say things are getting better. That'll spur it. That's in a real economy. Being positive does help things. Outlook is important. When it's a designed implosion, I've had business people go, come on, just say it's a good economy. Well, it's better in some areas of the country, like Austin where I live, but in most areas it's a depression. And lying to ourselves about this is not good. Every metric shows we're in trouble. We're going to be looking at some of that. But right now, let's go to your calls. Going to your phone calls here. Ernest in Washington. Ernest goes to InfoWars. Ernest, you're on the air. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Alex. I was watching you on Prison Planet TV this morning, and I was wondering, did you catch the Donald Trump announcement about offering Obama $5 million for his documentation?
You know, I did, and it is just a total stunt. I talked about it with Joe Curl of the Washington Times earlier. You've got on the Democratic side, you know, that lawyer running around going after Romney for, you know, testifying for his friend at a custody hearing. And it's just look, we don't really know who Obama is. We know the birth certificate's a forgery, but I was never a birther because you can't, it's just a quagmire. I know Obama said he won't just ban semi-auto rifles, he wants our handguns in the debate before last. I know he told Congress that NATO now runs our military with the UN. I know he's shutting down power plants to make more money for his buddies. I mean, I know Obama's terrible. But what's your take on Donald Trump's announcement?
Well, I kind of thought it was a smokescreen myself. I thought maybe it was a response to the 4 million copies of Dreams of My Real Father going out over the key states that I just read about. Who knows?
Absolutely. We have had Mr. Gilbert on repeatedly. We sell the film, but he got backers to put out millions of copies free across the country. Yeah, exactly. It's not that he has a fake birth certificate because he's from Kenya. That was the old cover story he put for 17 years in his Harvard publications and in books and everywhere. I mean, it's a fact he said he was from Kenya. His wife's on video twice saying it, but he wasn't from Kenya. That was the old cover story. He's from Hawaii, Frank Marshall Davis' son. I think it's compelling evidence. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Ever since I saw the interviews of, Dreams of My Real Father with you, that just puts everything into perspective, exactly.
But again, we can't 100% prove it, so we just have to say he isn't who he says he is. He's hiding his records. And I should have covered the Trump thing more. It broke right as I went on the air, and then I looked at it during breaks and basically have it over here in the stack, and Curl covered it. Curl on air. I have to be careful because I was talking to him off air and he didn't even say anything off air was off record. But once you wear a journalism hat, I mean, I wear a commentator hat, a rant hat, a tirade hat, a researcher hat. It's really what I do when I'm not on air. I don't talk about myself here. People know why I do what I do. But I more and more have this journalist hat on where people tell me stuff even on record and I don't want to say it unless they're saying it. Because they can say you said it wrong, but anyways, Curl didn't really tell me anything. No, it was on air. It was on air. He said, that Trump might have done this. Basically, he implied for Obama to smokescreen the terror stuff. That was on air because we were talking about the lawyer woman, Gloria Allred running around going after Romney. And he was saying, yeah, she's going after Romney. And this Trump thing might be that, too. And a lot of insiders like Dr. Jerome Corsi, who's talked to Trump quite a bit, and others that I've talked to off record, they really think Trump is a Democratic Party operative. That's why he's given more money to Democrats than Republicans. And then he does this to get his casinos authorized in Democratic crime syndicate areas like Chicago. Yeah, not bashing Chicago. We're on in Chicago. Great people, great city. But, I think Chicagoans know their government's a bunch of dirtbags. I mean, I love Austin, but they're dirtbags. I mean, our government's a bunch of crooks. So anything else, sir?
Alex, is that he could come up with forged documents for everything else, just like he did his birth certificate, just to get the $5 million.
Yeah, it could be like some public payoff. But I don't think Obama will really even respond to this, because it would be seen as unpresidential to say, here's my records. Look, I've personally talked on air to people that went to college with him. There's news out about saying he's a cocaine dealer. I haven't even gotten to. I tend to just not even get into this stuff because you can't prove it one way or the other. But, Obama, the way he dressed, the way he acted, looked like, he was having a party there in the 70s. A lot of people were. But again, none of that sticks. I mean, we hear a lot about Romney. Who knows if it's true? But I agree with you. Great points. Let's go ahead and go to Joe in Mississippi. You're on the air, Joe. Welcome.
Oh, the rabble has a magazine and it's shiny.
Thank you. So you're implying it's bad that I hold up these magazines, the printed word. Thank God for the Gutenberg press and for free speech, and it's horrible that I sell magazines at cost, and I get really, really excited imagining millions of people reading these and physically holding the articles that have big color posters inside. If you like shiny stuff, look at that big shiny poster saying "You are the hope" with the V for Vendetta guy in it. Pretty evil. Anything else about magazines that are shiny there?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts about the magazine is the poster in the middle. It's absolutely brilliant, and you guys did an excellent job during the money bomb. Very riveting radio.
Oh, I thought you were teasing me talking about a shiny magazine.
Oh, no, I was being a Lord Banker.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, no, I mean, people do get mad at me for selling anything, but you know what? I didn't even plug this last hour, but it really hit me. I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. I have privately thought about how do I pitch this magazine that sold out the first issue, close to selling out the second issue, but also subscribers. How do I sell it? Well, I go, well, what's the truth? Why did you do the magazine? And I thought back to like 6 months ago when I was first wanting to do it. Well, it was really years ago I wanted to do it, but really got earnest on it. And it was because imagine giving these to people to wake them up and imagine getting a year subscription for your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your pastor, your neighbor, the local library, the local police department, the local county commissioners, the state house. Everybody should get subscriptions, 13 issues, $59.95. That includes the shipping. One time, bam. And give it to the library. A lot of people do that. And then the library, you may get dozens to read it. We're going up to 60 pages now. And that is just a fabulous idea to give this as a Christmas gift or a holiday gift. I'm sorry, caller. I'm going to shut up. Now that you're being serious, what'd you call about?
Well, I called in about the debates. I totally agree with you. I watched the first two. And I couldn't even make myself watch the third one. It just made my head hurt. And I watched the third party debate yesterday, and it was very refreshing to seeing the breadth of topics that they covered. The spectrum is just refreshing.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance. I didn't get a chance to watch the third party debate. I probably should have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing groundbreaking or anything, but it's just interesting to see the vast difference there is between the controlled debate and the third party debate.
Who did you like the best?
Out of the third party debate?
Yes, sir.
Gary Johnson.
Yeah, that's probably one reason I didn't watch it is, number one, I wanted to hang out with my children a few hours. But number two, it's just this stuff gives you a headache after a while. But some of them, like the socialist and people on there, I mean, you know, I just don't need to hear any more of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But he was fiery in the debate. It was very refreshing, and he got a lot of applause. But what's frustrating is the fact that, you know, I tell people about how this whole thing's controlled, and it's so fun to be fooled and to go along with the winner.
And that's it. It's a bandwagon thing. They want to feel like, oh, yeah, my team's going to the Super Bowl. Why are you making fun of sports? And it's like, man, you're a chump.
Yeah. I mean, I explained it, and I know for a fact that they understand what's going on, that there's two sides of the same coin, but apparently it's just too much fun to be going along with this.
Well, by the way, John Baum, one of our reporters, one of the radio producers, his mother was at that in Chicago. We should have your mom, John, as a reporter. She's coming in Friday. Isn't your mom a journalist? Used to be. Your dad's an award-winning one, isn't he? What he's won? What's it called? A Peabody. Hey, where's my Peabody? I don't know if I deserve one, but Edward R. Murrow Award or something, but I think some of my crew does. I think Dan Bidondi deserves a Pulitzer Prize. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. I nominate him for that.
Federal agents, we are armed! What would you do if you knew all the things we knew?
We have to psychoanalyze ourselves, and more I'm becoming conditioned. Every week or so, I see articles where the police go to the wrong house and shoot a little kid or shoot an old lawyer or kill a county judge or shoot a mama, and then they don't even get in trouble. It's like wrong house, kill everybody, shoot people, throw a flashbang in. Shut a baby on fire. That happens. I see that story routinely where they throw it in the crib or throw it on a little kid and burn them up, kill them, half kill them. And it just shows, you know, I'm not here airing it every day, or it might happen 30 times before I even cover one of them. And that just shows how I'm becoming conditioned to just accept it. Yeah, you know. Now they're saying they're going to have SWAT team raids for just regular warrant service, not even high risk. And it's the message of men in black are coming to kick down your door and drag you off. Doesn't that scare you? Aren't you scared of the government? Let's go back to your phone calls. Dennis in Alabama, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, I just want to tell you that I drive a truck, and every time I pick up a different trailer, I put a sticker on the back, and when I'm out of stickers, I write it in the dirt on the back door. So, Infowars.com.
Beautiful, my friend. That's how you get the word out. But don't let the TSA see that at a checkpoint. You're not allowed to do that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I haven't seen one of these checkpoints yet, but I don't know what to do when they pull me over for no reason and want to, you know, I got nothing to hide, but I'm not into that stuff, you know?
Well, here's the deal. If you just search the TSA highway checkpoints or things like that, they're having them all over the country. The biggest area is Tennessee and surrounding states is where we've seen like half of them when I see it in the news. But you could run into Marines. You could run into Army. And a lot of times it's traffic backed up for miles. I mean, it's like a holiday to make everybody wait. Governors and people get upset, but they just keep doing them. But we got to keep pushing back. They're trying to break our will, trying to condition the police, everybody to accept it. Yeah, there's an article. What is that out of Forbes? The TSA is coming to a highway near you. And first they try to do commercial vehicles. They're also trying to just stop everybody now. And discretion's the better part of valor. It's good to have a camera. It's good to videotape it. And it's good to educate them. Wow. You know, what happened to the 10th Amendment, states' rights? And, you know, sworn police officers aren't supposed to set up random checkpoints. Are you looking for somebody? I mean, is there a bank robbery in the area? Do I fit the description? What is your emergency? And by the way, you're not even a sworn officer. And then just be real calm with them. And you know, because at first they'll try to act like, you know, you're doing something wrong. They'll call over a cop who'll try to act like you're doing. And just go, hey, guys, this is America. This isn't funny. And as soon as you're not intimidated and start laughing at them, generally they just say, get out of there. Move on. Move on. They want to get the next person. When patriots act scared and act freaked out, it's over. You're going to jail for something. I mean, I'm just like, wow, you really want your kids growing up in a country where there's checkpoints on the highway? You really, you know, the border's basically wide open and you're using this to harass us. I mean, they just start getting preached at. And believe me, in the checkpoints I've run into, and I've run into quite a few of them, I mean, the cops are just like, well, one time they knew who I was, it's on video, and they go, oh, yeah, the Serbs are going to invade, Alex, get out of here. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I never said the Serbs were going to invade. But, I mean, there they were running a checkpoint in Kyle on I-35 with traffic literally backed up 20 miles. And then later, I called the police chief about it. This is a long time ago. And the police chief spokeswoman at the time said, well, it was a federal grant. And then the legislature had to get involved. They were doing these all over. It was like 10 years ago or more. Time just flies. But, I mean, there's your answer. Now, obviously, if you're a truck driver, you're commercial, so they claim you've waived more of your rights. But, you know, I mean, next, are they going to say you got to lick their boots because you don't have any rights?
Carry a weapon, too. And what do you do when they ask you if you got a weapon? You say, yeah, they're not going to take my Glock away from me. You know, what are they?
Well, you know, that's
for?
The problem. It doesn't matter if the state law says you can have it. It doesn't matter if you have a reciprocal concealed carry. A lot of cops are good people and actually like the concealed carry and know it means you've been through a bunch of background checks as much as they have, so they'll leave you alone. It's not really the police you have trouble with. It's these TSA people. We've seen them in California and Dallas and places get in the face of TV trucks. I mean, you know, TV station pulls up because they got a checkpoint going at a bus terminal or train station or highway, and the TSA, there's been newscasts, they'll march over and go, what are you doing? Well, we're here. No, you're not. You turn that off. And then they'll call cops on them and stuff. I mean, that's just power mad, power grabbing.
Well, keep it up, man. I don't have time to get on the computer much, and I just get a lot of my information from you guys. And just keep it up, and I'll keep putting your name out there on the back of these trailers.
Well, God bless you. You sound like the guy saying, just come on into Motel 6, and we'll keep the light on for you. Can you say that? We'll keep the light on for you?
As long as they don't come knocking on my door.
We'll keep the light on for you.
We'll keep the light on for you.
You got it. Hey, Dennis, you got a great voice. I wasn't making fun of it. I actually like it. You just sound like the Motel 6 guy. But you could have a job in voiceovers. We'll be right back with more calls and a bunch of news. Stay with us. Crashing through the lies and disinformation. Welcome back, my friends. Thank you for joining us. Okay, look, I'm going to go to more of your calls. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. I want to hit some news now, go back to your calls, then get into some of the economic news we have yet to get to. But Tim, Pointy Toes, that's a nice nom de plume. Sean Muhammad. Muhammad's calling from Pakistan. I hadn't even noticed that somebody was calling from a foreign country, or I would have gone to them earlier. Let's go to one of those calls. Oh, let's just go to a few calls right now, but real fast. And then I'll get into study. Vast majority of homemade porn, private photos, ends up online. Smartphone app now used to snap photos of you. So I'm going to get to all of this. I meant to cover it yesterday, but I promised to get to it. And also, is it a full victory against the TSA that they claim they're bringing out the naked body scanners out of the major airports and moving them to fry people at smaller airports? That's actually them now covering all the airports with them. But I'm going to break that down. It's here in my stack. I will get to that in the economic news here in just a moment as we break down what the globalists are up to. And knowing is half the battle. But a Muhammad in Pakistan, listening via an Android cell phone to a free app. You're on the air, sir.
Hi, Alex. How are you, mate?
I'm all right. How can I serve you today?
First of all, you are a great person. You are my hero. I've been following you for the last about 5 years. And I really pray for you that God make you successful in your fight against the Zionist, globalist, New World Order.
Well, I know this. I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for people's prayers. So thank you for your prayers.
And thanks very much for waking me up. And I am a Pakistani guy. Please beg my pardon for my poor English.
Are you kidding? I can't speak Pakistani. I'm always impressed at how many people from overseas can speak English. Go ahead, sir.
Right. Alex, I have a very basic education. I have only high school education in Pakistan. I'm from third world country in a small little village. If I can get awake, why can't these my American fellows get awake? This is what surprised me.
Well, let me ask you a question there. Do they put sodium fluoride in high levels in your water?
Not really.
No. Do they feed you GMO? No, your government won't let it in. Does the average person there watch the high-tech brainwashing that emanates out of Hollywood? The answer is no. You guys have not been conquered, in history, except for brief periods of time. So you're also fiercely independent people. I'm not going to sit here and tell you about what it is to be Pakistani or Pashtun or Afghan, but everybody knows. Who knows anything? Even dumbed-down Americans know that. And Americans who used to be pretty similar to people like in Pakistan, rugged, individualistic, and ready to get in a fight in a minute, we've now been domesticated scientifically. So I don't get mad at my fellow zombie Americans. I feel sorry for the late, great USA, and I want to restore the republic and have America be the greatest exporter in the world again and have everybody love America again instead of being the heart of the globalist empire.
Right, absolutely. You are absolutely right. I've been following you on TSA. I've been listening to your interview with General Hamid Gul. You've been doing a great job. I love you, patriotic guys, Jesse Ventura, Webster Tapley, Gerard Serente. And this is my only basic education. I'm not a very highly educated person. I've been joined planetinfowars.com. I've been writing some articles there. Just want to send a good message to the whole patriot Americans that I am in love with you. I'm a true Muslim guy. I'm not Al-Qaeda or anything. I am a true Muslim. I'm not Wahhabi. I'm not Shiite. I'm not Sunni. I'm just Muslim. That's all. And humanity comes first. Religion comes afterwards.
Absolutely. And I mean, all Islam's saying is there's one God and that we should all you know, love that God and be at peace under God's rules. Instead, we're under the New World Order's rules, which no one can deny is absolutely satanic and is the enemy of all free peoples. God bless you, sir. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Sean in California, and then we'll go to Tim in Nevada and others. Sean, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. I just wanted to comment on yesterday's topic because I have firsthand knowledge about this. There's a former Clippers player by the name of Keith Kloss who openly, through some strange circumstances, I became very good friends with this guy, and I'm not going to air his dirty laundry on how that happened, but this guy openly tells me that the games are not so much fixed, but they're guided heavily, and the referees are the ones that are doing the guiding.
Okay, well, let me just stop you for a moment. I'm not saying you're a liar. I don't really follow sports. I don't know who this Kloss guy is. I don't know who you are. So you could call up and tell me that Marvin the Martian's fixing, you know, NBA games. I have no doubt that stuff goes on. That's why we had the guest on with the fixes in. But obviously, you know, that's circumstantial, so I really can't have you go any further, you know, with specifics. I mean, the way the call should go, because, again, we don't screen your calls, is, hey, I'm friends with a professional athlete, and they tell me that it's more guided rather than fixed. So, what is your view on all this?
Well, my view on this is I know that he's gotten blackballed from the game, and now he plays in China. I mean, it's like...
Okay, specifically, though, give me your take on how you're saying things are guided, you know, versus, you know, saying this guy's name.
I guess I'm saying I completely wholeheartedly agree with you that everything is based around the money game, and if you make waves, you're gonna get canned.
But how is guided? How do you guide it but not fix it?
What you're instructed to do by certain referees is to put different degrees of enthusiasm in your game, foul other players on purpose. And the referees are the ones who are kind of in charge of steering everything.
Yeah, that's what my guest said to me really off air, but also some on air in the TV interview we did, was that it's the refs are who everybody goes to. They're like the little crime bosses.
I completely agree. That was my point.
Now, you've got to have it always compartmentalized with executive fraud. That's the only way to engineer it. You can't have the, you know, trying to get the players to execute it all. That's why you see so many bad calls. That's why I just don't watch it. I mean, it's and again, folks, I used to watch sports. I know why people like them. I get it. It's just that it's empty. You know, you're leaving a friend's house after watching a day of sports on a Sunday, and it's like you just haven't had a life. You know, I mean, go hiking, go mountain biking, go for a jog, go out and drink beer with friends. I mean, I'm not saying go out and drink. That's better than just sitting there watching TV drinking. You know, go help homeless people. And you're like, that's boring. No, it's empowering. Or go paint a picture, you know. Not saying go drink beer. You know what I mean? I'm saying it's just there's so many things that are more empowering than just sitting around all day watching things that don't matter. I mean, you listen to this show. We are a spectator society, but I'm here dedicating my time. It's not canned. It's live. It's real. You're really hearing what I have to say. I have guests on. We're not screening the calls, and you're going to learn about stocks and bonds and gold and silver and geopolitical things. And I mean, I'm telling you, this is what people that are successful do. They're out there researching things as well. It's loserish to just be into entertainment all day. You're supposed to do entertainment sometimes to blow off steam. Like, I'm probably too far to the extreme. Right now, I've rediscovered Gilligan's Island, the three seasons, and I always liked it when I was a kid, and I didn't get to watch a lot of television when I was a child. We were always busy doing stuff, or I might get to catch it every once in a while when it was on. So, you know, I've been kind of guilty pleasure with my children who don't watch a lot of TV, usually educational stuff. We've been watching Gilligan's Island, and I mean, it's so healthy. Just with the gender roles and the messages and how they all work as a team, and it's funny, it's slapstick. And it's so simple, and it's good. And it's not that I'm some throwback. I watch these new shows. They're designed to screw you up. And I could instinctively tell you that, but I can go show you where they're funded by the Department of Defense, different agencies to do it. you know, anti-family, anti-God, anti-private property. Yeah, see, I tweeted that last night while I was watching Gilligan's Island. I said, I wish modern TV was not a scientific attack system. Marianne's a very nice lady. And anyways, I sent that out. It was the episode where it was called Two Gingers, where there's they're watching Ginger do a play, and Marianne falls down and hits her head, then wakes up and thinks she's Ginger. I mean, that is just hilarious, man. Anyways, I'm sorry. People say, well, you're just you know, corny. You're stupid. You just don't get all the modern stuff. No, I get it. Just no attention span, mindless trash. And I mean, I can watch mindlessness. It's just none of it's weaponized against me. I could probably watch football if there wasn't globalist messages during all the breaks. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is meant to hurt us, is my point. Gilligan's Island, they were just introducing people. You know, television been around 20, 30 years, and people wouldn't put up with that type of garbage. You know, people call it wimpy to be against drones or be against murder or be against killing. You know, it's cool to be into death. The people I know from World War II, Vietnam, Korea, who actually killed a bunch of people, you know, or saw people die. I mean, I've told the story. My grandfather, they would go into town in East Texas, and he'd take my dad to, you know, see a movie or something. And if there was mild violence in it, he'd get up and leave. And I'd say, no, we're not watching this trash. And it, and he was a, not really a worldly guy, but he was well-traveled in the world. And he'd seen kids starve to death, you know, after, you know, during the occupation when they kicked the Germans out of Italy and things like that, and, like, you know, been there and actually given his food away almost all the time and lost a bunch of weight just because he couldn't stand seeing little kids starve to death. But see, nowadays people just, oh, that's those kids starving. You know, they'd be, I mean, I'm telling you, nowadays people wouldn't give their food away probably. And I'm not sitting there building up my grandpa. The point is that he would never let anybody throw away food. People say, like, you know, the old timers, you know, don't waste that food. Well, that's because from the Depression and stuff, folks, you didn't eat sometimes. And I'm already digressing. I said I'd get to this news. It's just that people that seen a bunch of violence, it's not fun to see it. Like, I've seen some violence. I've seen some bad things. Nothing like somebody who's been in a bunch of combat, and I don't think it's funny. And I just noticed how there's so many empty, cowardly people who are into violence, like a extension of them, but when push comes to shove, it's all ritualized. I see this with guys who'll start a fight with you because, you know, because you're mild-mannered and polite at first. They'll kind of come on, and you're like, all right, let's go. Then it's like, then they back off when they see you turn on. Okay, I'm ready to beat the living daylights out of you to the, you know, all the way, buddy, let's go. You know, as soon as they see, oh, no, mister. I just wanted to sit here and show off in front of my wife and act tough. I didn't actually want to actually get this going. And I just don't understand that. I mean, you know, this is a real world we're in, ladies and gentlemen. We're real people. We're really alive. I was listening to Dr. Stan Monteith last night driving home at about 6 o'clock on Genesis. And I knew everything they were saying was true. They were reading the studies about the blubber in whales in the Pacific Ocean off the U.S. coast is up 2,000%. It's bioaccumulating, and how it's bioaccumulating in us and how they're chemtrailing us with it. And I'm just was getting, it's just like, my God, I'm in a scientific dictatorship being sprayed. And then I felt completely guilty even coming on air talking about the stupid election. I mean, it's just all beyond anything I can imagine. And it gets worse and crazier by the minute. And I was listening to Dr. Stan Monteith, who's a medical doctor, and I already read all the studies he was talking about. And he was just listening for like 45 minutes because I was in traffic. Well, I was doing, doesn't matter, I was doing an errand and then traffic. But the point is that for 45 minutes I was listening to this, and I knew it was all true. And I knew listeners tuning in to 90.1 in Austin, a lot of them probably are like, oh, that's just what that guy's saying. Because he's not going, I'm an award-winning medical doctor and author and researcher and blah, blah, blah. He's just on there reading these studies on there. And I'm listening to it, and it's like making me angry. It's like I'm under assault, and it's like the government's God flying around up there spraying us and killing the wildlife and hurting everybody, and I'm tired of it. And then I don't even get mad at cops and bureaucrats now when they're trying to oppress me because they're victims too. They're just idiots. I'm like, you're an idiot. They're poisoning you. Don't take the vaccines. You know the sodium fluoride's meant to dumb you down. Go read a study. And don't ask to search my car. You got kids. Do you got kids? Yeah. Well, you better go look this up. You know, I mean, and it's not like I'm some hero telling them this. What am I supposed to do? You're not a hero, folks, speaking out against this. You're just trying to survive. You understand that? See, I just had flashbacks to that last night, listening for 45 minutes. As he just listed study after study, study with his guest. And I'd looked at all the studies, and I knew it was all true. And I'm just like, and my instinct was, get home, sell everything, and go to the Southern Hemisphere. Because they're not running most of these programs in remote areas because it's not cost-effective to wipe out small groups. And then I got home and looked at my four-year-old daughter, who is the image of innocence and goodness. And here I am launching this whole operation, living here, sworn to stay here and go down with the ship. I don't know if I can live up to that pledge. I mean, I think I'm going to definitely move, but there's no, and it's not like there's any safe political country to go to, but there's places where they're not spraying aluminum dioxide on us. And they were going over all the stuff it's doing to people and the numbers and the neurological disorders and the lung disorders and the lung cancer exploding after cigarettes went out. I mean, it is just off the charts how they're killing us. And it's all just the standardization, normalization of killing us. And I am not going to sit here while they murder my children. I am not going to do it. I want these people arrested. I want people to wake up out of their trance and to do something about this. Stop watching sports and stop acting tough all day. I mean, look at these stacks of articles right here. Look at these stacks of articles, and I've got a whole nother stack on them right here. Going over all of this, you can look up cancer clusters, and it goes over all of it. In fact, I had the guys print me a whole bunch of articles about cancer clusters at the airports, and then I thought I had it together. Oh, God, with my stack here. We're going to have to skip this break. I've got to cover this information. I said I'm going to do it. I know it messes the network up, but I'm skipping this network break. Guys, I know you gave me a big stack of cancer cluster articles, and I know it's here in my stack. Just start putting them on screen. AP, Reuters, all the ones you gave me. Because I want to just put them on screen. I know you printed them. I had them in here like 30 minutes ago. It's mixed in with all these IRS can't travel articles. Oh, here it is. I found them. Never mind. I found them. See, this stuff gets to me, folks. I mean, I literally got lightheaded there where I was just ranting a little bit. I got lightheaded. It's like I'm like overwhelmed. I mean, you know, it's like almost fainting. It just comes in on you when you don't have a governor that blocks out all this stuff and you really know reality. It's like what the? I mean, it's overwhelming. They're killing us. They're scum. They brag about it. They got patents on it. The White House science czar writes books about it. I've got one right over there, and they're doing it to us, and they think it's funny. Bill and Melinda Gates, all of them. Here it is. Cancer surges and body scanner operators. TSA launches cover-up. And it just goes through all the different mainstream news articles and government documents and documents obtained by the Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, and how for, you know, well, at that time, 8 years. It was a couple years ago. It's been 10 years now. And they put them in Boston Logan. Look at this headline. TSA says Boston Logan cancer cluster not due to scanners. They admit there's an off-the-chart cancer increase. And so it goes over all that. And so I thought I would just give you the rest of the story here on this today, because they are announcing major airports to remove invasive X-ray body scanners. And there's a bunch of lies here. Okay, the headline is truthful, but it's deceptive. They have been ordering the backscatter. That's a different type of radiation that they say is safe. They said these old ones were safe. The other type may even be worse because it vibrates at the exact frequency to break DNA strands, which is the number one cause of cancer because you start having mutations. And it's a type you can't even really get around with even nutrition and other things. It's very serious. And it's the same thing with the cell phones. It sends out the same thing as the cell phones, basically. And so people are mad about them saving the naked images. So then they lied and said, we have a computer program that overlays it and we don't save it. Turns out they were saving it. Turns out the overlay they say you see is fake. It is being recorded and they pass them around and make jokes of them and put them on the internet and go up and ask movie stars to sign images of their genitals. I mean, you know, that's all been in the news. A pack of criminal liars, okay? I mean, it's an enemy operation. Of course they lie to us. To them, they're just killing cockroaches. But the TSA minions themselves, here's the big enchilada. The reason that they are pulling these out of the big airports is because they in the last few years, I've talked to TSA on and off air, they call them in, and this was later confirmed in FOIA releases, and they say, are you concerned about radiation? Are you concerned about, you know, the invasive pat-downs? And if people say yes, they say thank you, and then they pink slip them a few weeks to a month later for something else. They start writing them up, okay? And then they bring in people that will. So the thing is, the TSA wasn't bad 10 years ago. They weren't even bad 6-7 years ago. It's getting worse now because they're going to use them as the takeover arm. And I've had TSA agents come to my protests, you know, retired ones and people, or people that got out because of it, and they said it's horrible. They're robbing. They're stealing. Well, all of that has come out. But what's happening is because flyers are telling them about the radiation, I know I do it, and because it's coming out that it's lies, that oh, you know, this is 1 billionth of the radiation from a cell phone, like the Las Vegas guy told me last year when he was trying to put me through the ringer. The TSA are watching people get cancer around them. They're watching people with nosebleeds and teeth falling out and cataracts. And because again, Congress has demanded for 4 years that it be tested. Then they lied and said they had. Then it turned out they hadn't tested. Then they did fake tests. Then they lied and said John Hopkins said there was no radiation when John Hopkins' real report actually said it will give you cancer. See, when a report comes out from John Hopkins saying it gives you cancer, with their head radiology scientist saying it, doctor, their response was John Hopkins says it doesn't give you cancer. Kind of like Monsanto with aspartame in the 70s, couldn't get it approved. So they just took out all the monkeys that died and used the monkeys that didn't die and said, and then falsified the report to get it approved. And so what's happening is this is a huge victory for humanity. They cannot get dumb enough people to kill themselves as TSA agents. All they can get now is pedophiles and perverts and pure criminals that know they're getting radiated but are so evil because they get to exercise raw, mindless, idiotic, embarrassing power and rob people. Some get jobs because they want to rob prescription drugs because they're drug addicts. Everybody who's worked in medicine knows that, you know, beautiful women will come in and say, pull out all my teeth because I want a bottle of painkillers, you know. You know, drug addict women will do anything, you know, for the drugs, sex, you name it. Well, it's the same thing for men, and they've been caught over and over again, literally thousands of times, and everybody I know that's flown with any type of addictive legal prescription, it ain't in your bag when you get off the plane. They're going to steal it, because a lot of them, because I've profiled them, as I watch the news, I research it every day, and I see the patterns. The biggest group are drug addicts that want to steal your prescription. That's your sleeping pills, painkillers, whatever the case is. That's why they really go crazy and take people that have just had surgery to a private room. Everybody keeps wondering why they take them there. It's to get them away from their bags. Because now they're reporting, yeah, they took my bandages off and kept me back there for an hour and I missed my flight. And then my painkill. Well, of course, they see somebody who's coming through and they go, I just had surgery and you got bandages on. Baby, there is going to be some Vicodin or some other painkillers in that bag, you are getting a strip search and you're getting your stuff stolen. So that's what's going on here, is that they're getting cancer, they're dying, and so they're going to move the really high-powered machines out to the small-town airports to kind of rotate it to people that hadn't had any scanners to begin with so they can so they can get cooked for a while and figure out they're being killed, okay? That's what's happening there. But that's a lie, too, because the new scanners radiate you just in a different way, okay? It's a different type of slow-motion disintegration ray. So that's what's going on. So, see, there's a full-spectrum analysis, but it does show that incredible heat is coming in on them. We've known for a long time they're phasing out the classic X-ray because there's so much medical research. Everybody knows X-ray. Oh, by the way, they won't get them approved. They won't even get the monthly technician. See, if you work in a hospital, doctor's office, wherever, monthly, a private third-party firm has to come in and get calibrations. And that's a good reason, because if it's not calibrated right, a regular X-ray can become lethal. That's why they've had so many of these MRIs killing people, because they weren't calibrated right. I mean, they're already high-powered, but you don't calibrate them right, the hair falls out, you know, that day, then you die of a brain tumor 6 months later. So you're in there around medical equipment, so also they cannot have them certified. They won't have them certified by outside third-party firms. They just say, we wear blue, you know, monkey outfits, we're God, there's going to be no testing, that's just the way it is, and then people start dying of cancer. Okay, we'll just get these to the older, you know, smaller airports that didn't have them, let them figure out, you know, it'll take them 10 years to figure out it killed them. Oh, we got the new safe ones. And then by the time they figure out those are killing them, oh, here's some new ones. See how this works? And it's just dealing with criminals. Governments run by criminals and all their horrible criminal mindsets. And this is how they do it. This is how they operate. So it's really not a victory. It's a small victory in that they're having to spin the fact that they're moving these out for safer scanners. They're doing it because they've got a mutiny on their hands. And I've got this from sources all over the place, and it's in the news, over the cancer. Okay, you think you're getting radiation? The TSA agents are dead. They're killing themselves to live.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Watch me! Watch me! I got it! Watch me! I got it! Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about.
I got soul, and I'm super bad. But not bad in a bad way. I'm super bad.
And I'm super bad.
I got a deep inside. I feel so good. Ooh.
I got a move that tells me what to do. Sometimes it is. Now I got a move that tells me what to do. Sometimes I feel so nice. I want to try myself a few.
Yeah.
I got soul.
I'm super bad.
I'm super bad.
Yes, sir, you are super bad.
Glad to do my thing. And I don't need no one else.
All right, we're back live, ladies and gentlemen. I like that. Yeah, you know, I feel good about myself because I know I'm trying to be a good person. I know what he's talking about there. And what about you? You know, when you do the right thing, that's what matters. You know, I've got to do a special report on this or something. Because I've talked about it some yesterday, I've talked about it today, but I have not done it justice. Because I started trying to take too many calls. I know we got loaded phone lines. I apologize to Tim, Ken, Marcus, Dennis, and many others. We'll have to get to you tomorrow. But if you call back in tomorrow and tell the folks if you get through, I'll put you at the head of the line. Thank you so much for holding patiently to hear me babbling. I am basically out of time here. The sands of time for me in this transmission are running low. And I just don't feel like I can do justice to this report. I'm going to have to do a special report on this, maybe today or tomorrow. Because when something's so important like this, just barely covering it doesn't do it justice. But here it is. This is out of CBS News right here. It's an ode to Rush Limbaugh. Listened to Rush Limbaugh like 22 years ago when he's first on air. He'd do that. He just loved it. And now I do it. And every time I do it, I realize I'm copying Rush Limbaugh. I don't think he's ever. It'd be a new exercise show. Formerly nicotine stained fingers. I got it. And yeah, and a nice dose of something else. There you go. But I mean, this article says it all. And again, I already knew all this. You probably knew this. But to see it in CBS News just shows you how off the charts this is. Researching this article, it says that most porn out there is amateur and that most of it is stolen and that they hack into your computer. And they hack into your phone or they get your stolen phone. There's a whole market for this. And then it's put on big websites. And it's so widespread, nobody can even stop it. And then meanwhile, I've got Paul Joseph Watson's article from last week that I never even covered. Smartphone apps now use microphone to record your conversations. AI computer then marks for the thieves, government, corporations, what they want to go back and listen to. And cell phone takes private pictures without your consent. Now, this is finally the last month hit mainstream news. Remember, I was telling you this over a decade ago, and I was the evil kook. And I'm not trying to sit here and say, oh, look, I'm so smart. The point is, this has been out for a long, 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 long time. And when it says it's taking control of your phone, there's people actually taking control of it. And public schools all over the country are watching kids on government-issued laptops at home. And they'll announce on themselves, well, Billy, we saw you taking the drugs. And it turns out it was Skittles. And it's like, why are you watching Billy sitting on his bed or Jenny eating Skittles? In the case of that, it was a boy. And they just go, well, we just watch you at home now. We're just the government. I mean, this is like a lawless road warrior style government just doing whatever it wants. Gee, you wonder why I said road warrior. I'm going to let road warrior take you out, ladies and gentlemen. We've got bumper music like no other. And I'll cover more of this on the nightly news tonight, 7 o'clock Central with our great team, PrisonPlanet.tv.